Blog Talk Radio. Monday night too. This is Jim Bird. It's going to be barbecue theme here out of Athens, Georgia. Tonight we're on Barbecue Superstar, the Monday night show. Hope everybody had a good weekend this past weekend. We ourselves, we competed in the Sam's Club Regional in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And we will be moving on to the finals in Bentonville, Arkansas. We finished seventh up there. Very tough teams. I do want to congratulate several good teams up there. Moonshiners, Swamp Boys, Houston and Bruin, Southern Thunder, Three Eyes Barbecue. Trying to think of all the teams that were in there. Rocky Top, Major Q. I'm sure there's one or two others out there that I missed. But anyways, I want to congratulate everybody that went on to the next round. And had a little scoring difficulties up this past weekend, which we will be getting to in just a little bit. I also want to congratulate Jeremy Moyer for having a perfect 180 out there in Brisket. Very tough thing to do when you have people like Warren County Pork Choppers and all these tough Brisket teams up there. Hats off to him. Pull that out, and congratulations to him. We also got, he'll be on the show a little bit later. We also have Jonathan Timmons from Hogs Gone Wild. Won his first grand this past weekend in the Atlanta Barbecue Club showdown up in Atlanta, in downtown Atlanta. And congratulations to him. Beating out Myron Mixon Smokers for grand champion. And I know he's pretty excited about that. I believe that's his first grand. He's ready to win some more. And it's kind of like new blood, you know, when you get that blood in your mouth like an animal, then you got to get some more. So we all know how it is. We never forget. You will never forget your first grand championship. So congratulations to him. I also want to congratulate Mike Moore from Old Plantation Barbecue for winning grand up in Winder, Georgia. A good friend of mine and a fellow Southern Q smoker teammate. Congratulations to him. And I know he's happy. He just got through taking the Rod Gray's class back in August. So first competition come out of Rod Gray's class, goes up, wins a grand. Something to be said about Rod's classes. If you haven't taken one and you're kind of in the middle or failing, you need to jump on board and go ahead and sign up for one of Rod's classes. They sell out quick. He's a great teacher, very methodical, and a very winning team. Him and Sherry, so congrats to them, and, you know, but with no further ado, I believe we have Jonathan Timmons on the line right now. Is this Jonathan? Hello? 678-997? I guess we have a caller that's dropped. So anyways, we have been on a little bit of a hiatus last couple weeks. Been working out of town a little bit and hadn't been able to do my show last couple of Mondays, but people don't know, we'd gotten up to six grands for the Jack Daniels. Couldn't quite pull out number seven, but we were lucky enough to get drawn out of North Carolina for the Jack Daniels World Championship, so we're really looking forward to that. Got a lot of friends up there. I know Mark Breen from Sugar Grillers will be there. Bubba from Bubba Q will be there. Of course, Rub Bagby and Dan Hickson and Warren County Pork Choppers and a lot of other teams. Also, I want to congratulate Damon Woolley for getting the draw in Georgia. So, a lot of my friends will be up there, which would be good. We'll share the whole experience with them. And this is our first time going, so we're really looking forward to it. So, first call is 770-876. Hello.
Hey, this is Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing good. I hear you had a pretty good weekend this past weekend.
Yeah, we did. We went down to the Atlanta Barbecue Festival, and we went down there to win, and luckily we were able to pull it off.
Well, that's good. You know, you always place good in a couple of categories, just can't ever seem to put it all together. And we've all been there. Most of us are still there. And, you know, it's good to see somebody, especially one of your friends, go out and take a grand. So we're really excited for you and everything. And know you've been working hard and you paid your dues and everything. I mean, there's been several times you've just been like one category away from winning.
Yeah, we got pretty close in New Harley. I think we finished 6th or 7th, and Pork was killing us. It's been killing us this year, and there's been a few more competitions the past year that we've been close on, but never could get it. And so we were real excited to finally capture it.
So how bad was your heart thumping out of your chest as they were calling down the top 10? I'd love to have you on a heart monitor and see.
It was definitely going. My legs were bumping up and down, and they got down to like the top 3, and then they called Myron Mixer Smokers for 2nd place, and I looked at my dad and looked at Kevin Blackburn, who cooked with us this weekend, and Kevin looked at me and said, "Nope, it's not us." And then finally they called her name. It seemed like it took forever between the reserve and the grand being called. But it was a great pick.
Yeah, that's the longest 30 seconds you'll ever know in your entire life. Yeah, you know, everybody remembers their first grand, and, you know, you don't ever lose that feeling. It's kind of like deer hunting, you know, with buck fever. When you lose buck fever, then you might as well quit. I don't think anybody ever loses, you know, the feeling of winning another grand. I mean, it's something special. The good thing is you've already got a drawing for the next Jack Daniels. You know, was this a World Food Championship qualifier or no?
It was. I think it was just for the pork category, though, is the way they did it. I'm not real sure. Bob's been trying to call me today, Bob Henderson, to talk about that and the American Royal, but I wasn't able to get back to him today.
Right. Well, we, you know, a lot of competitions, you know, it's the grand, so I wouldn't be surprised if you don't get a call from World Food Championship or an email inviting you out there to compete, because they've been hammering me to come out there, you know, to win a Banjoba Q and stuff. And
right.
I don't know. I just don't have the funds to go out there. You know, that's a big one-shot deal out there, and I got too many other comps I want to do around here that I like going to. So
If I could get airfare and some rental smokers or ship some out there, I might do it, but I don't know about driving that distance.
Yeah, we've heard a few horror stories. Hopefully they'll earn some of those out and everything. Of course, anytime you do a competition of that magnitude, not everything's going to go great. But you know, Troy, he's out there helping with it, I think, and you know, he knows what to do, but it's just getting everybody on the same page with that many competitors out there and everything. But, you know, we'll see. I've got my sponsor, David Bosco, to go back, and, you know, of course, they're halfway there, so yeah, it's not that big of a deal to them. But, how did you place your categories up there? Were you just solid cook, or, did you feel like it was any better than your other cooks you had last time, or?
Yeah, we felt like we finally put all 4 categories together. I had Kevin Blackburn, who I've competed with at Superior Smokers this year. We're good friends, and he came down to kind of help me out with pork and chicken, because those are 2 categories I've been struggling with. And we ended up with a 12th place in chicken, a 12th place in ribs, a 4th in pork, and then a 3rd in brisket. So after the first 2 categories, we weren't feeling too good, but the next 2 brought us back up to where we needed to be. It was nice. We only beat Myron Mixon Smokers by like 0.03 of a point. So it was a close one.
But it was a good one.
It was a good one. We had a lot of fun. We met a few new teams. Stuart Sink was and his team, the Q School, was right behind us. He put on the Swine and Dandy competition last year. A lot of people may know him from the pro golf circuit. And you could tell those guys had a good time. They had a Lang 84 and 1 easy up tent, and stayed up on that long, and they came in ninth overall, and they were just tickled. So it was great to see.
That's what it's all about, you know, and seeing some new teams win every now and again. Like I said, we like to get new blood here on the radio show, and you know, truly congratulate people, you know, on a wider range of whole wider scale. You know, let people know who you are and try to get some sponsorship and stuff. Now, how many competitions a year do you typically do?
We've been doing about 12 a year. Try to keep it at one a month, you know, a little more, a little less. We tried the GBA this year and FBA last year, so just trying to get around.
Now, you mainly stay in Georgia? Do you venture to Carolina or North Carolina or Tennessee or Alabama?
We've stayed in Georgia the past 2 years. Next year, I'd like to get into Alabama and Florida and even Tennessee. But we didn't this year. Last year, we stayed with the GBC events, trying to get into those. And my goal last year was to get a few top tens overall in the GBCs. And we managed to get a 8th-place pork and a 10th-place brisket overall. And then this year, my goal was to hit the grand at least once. So my goal is complete for this year, so I guess I need to set new goals.
Yeah. Well, we'd set one at the beginning of the year. I told my wife I wanted to win. This is a 3-year goal. I wanted to win Boss Hog for sentimental reasons. That's the first one we ever did. Because Papa Sam passing away, too. He was the first person I met down there. I wanted to win Banjo BBQ because it's like right out my back door. This is my hometown. And then I wanted to make it to the Jack 1 year, but I didn't realize we'd be in all three in the same year. And
yeah, you guys had a really great year.
And then 2 weeks ago, my wife goes, "Well, what are you going to do now? What goal are you going to set?" I said, "I want to get into the finals of Sam's Club." We got to the finals of Sam's Club, and I'm like, gee, we got Sam's Club 1 week and then the Jack the next. We can't split it up a little bit. I mean, come on. So I was over there talking to Rub after he congratulated him on his reserve up there. And I looked at him and I said, "You want a carpool out there?" He goes, "Jim, I don't know how I keep getting myself into this stuff." That's what he meant. He said, "You know, I've got to teach sometime at school." And he says, I you know, last year I didn't know how the hell I was going to get out there. And he said, "I did it." He said, "This year, so I really don't know how I'm going to do it with the Jack." He said, "If I got to choose between two, it's going to be the Jack, hands down." But,
yep.
You know, so I just have to, he said, "As I get back, he said, I just have to try to figure something out." But he was like, "Man, I just don't know how I keep doing this." So, a little overwhelming, you know, especially, you know, bam, 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 all on the road. With him being down to 4-2 is a little bit tougher also. But you say you mainly stay in Georgia now. You know, it's pretty tough. It doesn't matter where you go in Georgia. It's pretty tough to win in Georgia.
It really is.
You know, I claim on the radio show, and you know, we've got a few teams up in the top 25 and KCS points and stuff. But what people don't realize, though, is you got 20 to 25 teams in any given contest that could win it. That really has a legitimate shot at winning it, you know. And, you know, several grand champions, several reserves, several times over and all this other stuff in these contests. It's a crapshoot. And, you know, now seeing the new scoring system, from what I've seen, is just almost 50% luck of what table you get on as it is to cook it. You know? I mean, you have to cook good food, but you have to get on the right tables. Of course, Jeremy will be on here a little bit. We'll talk about the fiasco up there in Hendersonville, but, you know, that one table took out several really good teams from moving on. And, you know, it's not going to go down lightly, I can tell you that. But,
I was worried about the judges at Atlanta with Hendersonville and Winder being the same same weekend, but we had pretty good judges down in Atlanta, and that's I saw the score sheet from Hendersonville and that terrible table that was up there.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And there was one or two judges on some of the other tables that were just hammering teams. And I mean, at my chicken meal, we finished like 16 chicken. And we thought some of the best chicken we cooked, which it was. I mean, get that crowd, you know, being the top 10, that's, you got to be dead on. And one judge, I had two 999s, I had several 998s, and, you know, 989 or whatever. Then one judge gave me a 667.
And I'm like, really? I had one 865 this weekend from judge number six.
This was from judge number two, and he hit several other teams pretty hard, too. So, you know, the thing with, you know, trying to get Jim Stanfield to come on or Randall Bowman, you know, it's this has got to get around to, like, teams that you don't want at your contest to cause problems or drama or whatever. You got control of that. You've got control over who judges. You know, you've got the whole judges
right.
list. So, you know, with a table like that, now, I'm not going to say the whole table was like that. I know there was one decent judge on there for a fact, but, you know, he couldn't sway the table. You know, he had to judge what he was. He wasn't going to just put out all 999s just to help offset them. But, you know, he knew they were lowballing. He knew 100%. And,
right.
Kind of through a friend of a friend. And, but, you know, he took out some very good teams. You know, Warren County didn't even make it. You know, several mortgage competition didn't make it. Several really good teams. Dana Hillis from Big Papa's Country Kitchen, he didn't get a call. You know,
and you hate to see that with as much as these teams spend and how hard we work.
I just don't think the judges really take that into consideration. A lot of them do. I won't say all judges. I'm saying. I'd say the majority of them do. They take consideration of what they got. But, you know, people say, well, you know, they have to come out of pocket a lot of money with no chance of winning. Well, they choose to do that, you know.
Right.
We choose to do this, but don't hammer us because you're pissed off or mad or, you know, just going to do it on purpose, whatever, because I know there's judges out there that do it. You know, we want a fair and impartial judging criteria, and, you know, we just want to be judged accordingly. And, you know, KCBF, now that they've opened this Pandora box, so to speak, they're going to have to address this. And, you know, if not them, I really think it needs to start at a organizer level first. And
I agree. It would be nice if the KCBF could start a database where organizers could see the maybe the average scoring of the judges. So they could,
right.
you know, pick and choose some of the best.
Well, you're not really wanting to pick the highest one. You're not really wanting to pick the lowest ones. The thing is, you know, where they consistently, I guess, the majority of them are you know, placing. You know, if they're across the board and they have like a 32 or 33 average, then yeah, that's a good, decent judge. Because he's going to throw some high scores, he's going to throw some low scores. So
right.
if you got a judge that averages 25 for the day, in every category, 24.9. I think we had one 24.5, 28 point something, 27 point something. And they're all on the same table. You know, something's got to be said about that. And all the other teams are up, you know, around 32s and 33s on their judges. And especially when you get to a Sam's Club regional like that, because, you know, as you know, it gets tougher and tougher when you go through these certain rounds. The bad barbecue should be in the opening round. It's not going to be in that second round, you know. So, you know, but when they are consistently every single category low, just down on the bottom, it's that's a red flag, you know. I can understand if one table is just a little bit lower, but this table is just blatantly lower, and you know. Troy, with the amount of money that they've got in their Sam's Club, they need to step up to the plate. And Troy's a great guy. He does puts on great events. He really looks out for the cooker, so, you know, he needs to kind of step up to the plate. You know, this can't happen again. It'll give different contests a bad name and a bad reputation that teams don't want to go to it, you know. So, and being a regional, you got more of a chance to handpick the judges. And I think most organizers that go into it, if they have an influx of judges, you know. Now with Randall having over 100 teams, you know, it could be a little tough. But you still know who does what, in my opinion. At least I hope they do. But so how was, we'll get back to Atlanta Barbecue. So how was it in downtown Atlanta? How many teams were there? What was the, where was it at? I know y'all had the band or did chicken wings or something. What was all that about?
It was, I'll start off saying that in the past I've heard they've had trouble with the event. There, you know, there's some teams that didn't like it. We really enjoyed this weekend. Everything was set up nicely, easy to get into. We had 41 pro teams and I think 11 or 12 backyard teams set up in the Atlantic Station parking lot, right in the middle of Midtown. It was a cool venue, being able to look at the Atlanta skyline at night. We did have a chicken wing, kind of a sale-off on Friday night. We ended up selling our 100 chicken legs in less than 30 minutes, I think about 25 minutes. So the public was really out there looking to sample our food. Saturday we did a people's choice that was on site at each team's site. I think all 41 pro teams signed up for it. And I think everybody had sold out of samples by the end of the day. It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of newer teams out there, a lot of teams that have been in the KCBS. And a lot of restaurants from Atlanta getting in there and seeing what they could do against the competition team. So, Characters Famous from the Pitmaster Show, he was there, and the Rolling Grill, and the Hottie Hog restaurant, who's been on Lifetime recently, they were there, which we didn't figure they would be too great at the competition, but they, I think they were there mainly for the vending aspect.
Right.
But overall, it was a good event. I enjoyed it. I'll definitely be back next year.
That's good. Well, you know, they split the GBC on that, you know, with Winder. And,
right.
It just seems like, you know, every year with the Sam's Club in Georgia, there's always some big conflict in schedules, you know, with the Sam's Club.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year a lot of us went up to Hendersonville. And, you know, didn't, what was left was split up. And, you know, there were some good teams in Atlanta and some damn good teams in Winder. I mean, it was, you know, Georgia's not short of any good teams, I can tell you that. So,
and that's kind of so, why we picked Atlanta. We knew, you know, the majority of the teams we cook against week after week would be at Winder for the GBC event. So we thought we'd see what we could do against some of the other teams in Georgia, but Myron did split up his team and sent Mike and a few of his guys out to Atlanta and himself, I think, and a few of the other guys went to Winder. So we had some stiff competition out there.
But I think, too, with him doing that, yeah, he did that up in Maggie Valley in Cleveland, Tennessee, was going on at the same time. You know, Mike and his boys went up to Cleveland, I mean, up to Maggie Valley, and the big boy was in Cleveland. So, you know, they didn't do too hot in either one of them, you know, when they split up like that. So, but yeah, so anyway, hang on 1 second, Jonathan. I don't know if you can read that. But anyway, you know, like I said, they're trying to win grands and stuff, but they can get some draws to the Jack, and you know, they have their own means. But you know, with you choosing to go there, you know, a lot of teams do that. I do that. You know, if you ever notice, you know, I'm over here on the eastern side of the state, and I can go cook competitions in North Carolina just as I can in Atlanta. Then I'm like, why do I want to put up with traffic in Atlanta? And, you know, as you know, it's a real huge barbecue family out there, and I got a lot of friends in North Carolina that I like to see and hang out with, and, of course, a lot in Georgia and Tennessee and South Carolina also. So you don't see me at too many GBC events. I think I've done five. I think I've done five this year. And everybody else has done like nine. But the five that I've done, I've made them count for the most part. And but now going to the Jack and the Bentonville, I think I might have the luxury of going to maybe two more GBCs to round out the year. And you know, but it's good to branch out. It'll surprise you, you know, when you go to these different states and cook, how well you can do. You know, when you're up against these Georgia teams, and, you know, every state's got some really good teams. There's no doubt about it. But you got so many Georgia teams, FBA, GBA, and, of course, KCBS, that swap and switch and, you know, go from one sanctioning body to another, that, you know, we go to another state, a lot of teams.
I think that's it too, Jim, is that it also, you know, Georgia's right in the middle of the Southeast, so you have all the teams from, you have the good teams from the surrounding states coming into Georgia to compete in some of these, and so you really are getting the cream of the crop in every competition here. And that's we're looking forward to doing some competitions in other states next year just for that reason, to, you know, try to thin out the heavy crowd.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know, like, well, exactly, you know, split them up a little bit. You know, most other states, Jeremy, you're on the air, I know that's you, so you're on the air, just to let you know, so you can chime in anytime you want to. It's Jeremy Memorial, some Warriors competition barbecue team, am I correct?
Yeah, that's right, Jim, great, thanks. Hey, Jonathan, congratulations, buddy.
I appreciate it, thanks, Jeremy.
It's awesome, man.
But as you know, you got people like Jeremy, yourself, and all these other teams. So I've only been doing this is my third full year. So, you know, being up against competition in Georgia, you can really, really see how you progress. And, you know, you can be, you know, a 7 to 12 place team every week in Georgia. You can go to Tennessee or, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever. And, you know, you can be a top 3 team. I mean, just because of the level of competition that's in Georgia, week in and week out. And we're not split up that much, as y'all know. Usually, yeah, we have a lot of competitions, but they're on different weekends. And very few are on the same weekend as this past weekend was. So,
right.
You know, teams is hard to split up. Another thing, too, is we do get a lot of good teams from the other states because Georgia's known to have some really good prize money. And so, you know, a lot of teams are passing up other lower-paying competitions come to Georgia to compete. But as you know, there's not that many teams outside of Georgia that win the Georgia competition.
And that's true.
So, Jeremy, you can chime in anytime you want to, buddy.
I will do, Jim. I appreciate you asking me to call in tonight. Had a good time up in Sam's for the most part. And it was great seeing you up there, man. Talking about a bunch of incredible teams. Man, that comp was stacked, wasn't it?
I mean, you're not kidding. I mean, it really was. And, you know, we got 3 calls, and, you know, I was looking at Jan like, you know, we could be reserve here, you know, because our pork was good.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, you know, no worse than 13th in pork. And granted, anybody up there could have won that damn thing. I mean, it was just,
sure.
It really was. It was a who's who of Southeast barbecue, really and truthfully. I'd hate to count how many grands were up there for that competition. You know.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah.
It really was. And even reserve grands, I mean, you know, it's just incredible on the quality of teams that was there. And with us getting a 4th, 5th, and a 6th, 3 calls, and then Port doing what it did. But I tell you, like I was telling Jonathan earlier, these new scoring sheets really, really let you know that it's really about 50% cooking and 50% luck.
That's the thing. We were looking at the scores afterwards, and we had made a small tweak to pork, just because this last year we've had 3 reserves and 3 top, you know, or 3rd place finishes overall, and trying to figure out how to just push it over the top. So we made just, we just make small little tweaks, trying to go, okay, is this what's going to make the difference, you know? And we did that to pork this week, and we saw, man, 29th in pork. Wow, we really messed something up, you know? But we thought it was great. But then you started looking around at that score sheet and start going, you know, holy cow, okay, you got killer bees right there, and you know, just all the teams were in the bottom, and all of us on the same table. Swamp Boys.
Swamp Boys.
You know?
Yeah.
TNT, man. Tim Thomas is a great pork cook.
Yep.
It was like, no, there's something up here, you know, because that's not normal, you know. And Jan had told me that y'all had a great cook, and your pork was great. And y'all were one of the best cooks out there, you know, doing all the stuff in South Carolina you do and everywhere else. You know, y'all really dialed in your pork. And for you know when it's on or off. You know, if y'all feel it was on and get what you got, that's just crazy, you know. I'm still kind of trying to figure out pork. I'm a Texas boy, so I don't do a whole, you know, I haven't been raised cooking pork. I was raised cooking brisket with my granddad. I understand brisket, you know, that meat I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, we found that out. We found that out this past week since we quit rubbing it in.
No, that's not the purpose of bringing that up. But that was fun. I'll let her do it again.
Oh, I'm just jumped. I congratulate you at the beginning of the show about doing that. It's you know, down the lines last year, we were one appearance goal away from perfect 180.
Right.
And, you know, I was talking about judges. There was a couple other judges in some of these other tables. I mean, we, like I said, you know, we finished sixth in chicken. We had 999s, 989s, and 998s. Then we get a 667.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it, I don't know. It, but when you get a table like what was up there, and now, I know there's one, if you look, go back and look at all scores, now I can't say for this very, but I know who scored the highest on the table, what judge it was on our table, scored us the highest, which was judge number one. The rest of them were consistently, the whole table was bottom eight, with the exception of one or two slingers. I think Whalen got first on the table in chicken, he was fifth. That was the highest score of the day for that table, and Rick got 15th
in ribs,
which was first on the table. But when you get a 24th out of, I think Rev was 24th on the scoring, but first on our table.
Right.
You tell me how that, out of 30 teams, really. You know, you've got these world-class, pardon my expression, but, you know, you got these world champion caliber teams out there, and they get scored like that. I mean, a 156. I've never, ever scored below 162, 163, and 40, even when I started. So to have a 156 is just, you know, it's just unbelievable. I know up in Virginia they have problems with judges, but down here, I mean, last year it was the highest scoring Sam's Club ever. You know, I think 5 points separated first to 15th, and, you know, all six. I think I had a 687 or 689 was 13th, you know.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
It was.
That's kind of the thing. We talked about it some after the contest, you know, especially something like that. And I don't have, you know, I put a picture of that score sheet on Facebook, and I wasn't trying to have any sour grapes. I don't have any of that, and I love KCBS, and I'll keep cooking KCBS and all that. I hope they use these score sheets to kind of help choose and place judges, I'll say. Because I've made a lot of friends who are judges since I started cooking, and love them coming by the cook site and all that kind of thing. I love that friendship as well, and try to build, you know, the rapport between cook teams and judges. And we've got a couple of master judges cooking with us in Marietta in a couple of weeks, and have done that before, and you've done that a lot.
Several times we got a lot of really good friends.
Sure, but when you spend that much money and travel that far to go do something, and it's obvious on paper that, wow, you know, even you made it through, but how much money did it cost you in prize money? Because
$1,500.
I guarantee it. I mean, rough, you know. He was reserve grand still with that bad port call, you know.
Yeah.
That's the money that he you know, missed out on. Now, he still is going on, and you know, that's how the game goes, and I understand that. But hopefully this new scoring thing, it's showing us what's been going on for a long time, and hopefully that'll be used as information to help kind of control that a little bit, I guess, in the future. I don't know if they will or not, but that's what I'd hope from a cook's perspective. You know, we've got a lot of time and money in our rigs and our meats and learning how to do this and traveling all over the place. You know, it's not a cheap hobby, you know, by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, well, you know, but a lot of people say, well, judges go to the event without no chance of being recouped or anything. And I said, well, that's fine, but they don't go to the thing, you know, spending $1,000 either. You know,
absolutely.
And taking three or four days out of your life and, you know, with your family
right.
or whatever and doing all that. You know, and yeah, we choose that, but we don't choose the lowball teams. And, you know, we invite judges to cook with us. We want
sure.
judges to cook with us so they can see the behind the scenes, because everybody that I've had cook with me said, I had no idea all this went on. And then we get
That's
some
exactly
of the scores back, like even up at Franklin, we were like 29th and fork up there. And
right.
the two master judges we had said, that's the best pork we've had in all 30 contests we've been at. We don't get that pork that
right.
good. And we got 29th. So what happened? I looked up and I don't know. You tell me, you're the judge, you know? I mean,
exactly right.
It surprises them, too. But, you know,
no,
I was hoping Randall and Jim would call in tonight. I invited them to come on. But I would like to see what their power is as far as choosing judges. And do they have the resources to find out who these judges are, to find out who their, you know, the judges' numbers. They go by numbers and everything. So,
you know, and I talked to Randall a little bit today about it, and I don't want to put any words in his mouth, but he was saying that he's having to be really cautious and really watch the judges that are chosen because he doesn't want his contest to get a reputation of having tables like this, you know. And so I don't know how he's going about doing that. I don't know if he has information that maybe we're not, you know, privy to, since he's a promoter and has an event. I don't know all of that. It would be interesting to hear that perspective. Because, like, you know, I mean, you know, it's how it is. You cook, and some weeks you hit and some you don't. You know, this week our ribs we thought were dead on. They were just as good as what we cooked in Athens. We got 21st this weekend and first in Athens. You know, it's I don't know. You can just drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out. So I'm just going on to Marietta, the next contest I do in 2 weeks, and just going to put our best out there and see where it lands, you know. But it is interesting now being able to see that, you know.
Well, you know, we you know, as cooks, like I said, you're in your, what, second year, and I'm in my third. Jonathan, you're probably, what, your second or third year doing this?
Yeah, second year.
So, you know, you hear of people saying, well, you know, it may be more on the table than it is your food and all this other stuff. And up until now, you know, it's probably 85% your food, 15% which table it is. Now I think it's more 50-50. It's
right.
really opening a lot of eyes. Hopefully it's opening the eyes of KCBS exactly what's going on. Now, granted, we don't want to be scored 999s all across the board. That's not what we're asking by no means whatsoever. But
that's exactly right.
You know,
exactly right.
We just want to be judged accordingly, not starting off low, and really not. I mean, really, truthfully, the best way to do it is start off high and find things wrong with it, than to start off middle of the road
sure.
and go up to like, well, this is average, and you know, new judges like Sweet Baby Ray's and all that stuff. Everybody knows, you know, until their palates get accustomed to the flavor profiles of professionals. And
sure.
you know, so, and it is. It's an acquired taste to where you really need to be as far as the judge is concerned. And
sure.
you know, I think
well,
more.
Well, us too. When I first started cooking, I was gonna say I tried the Blues Hog and all the stuff. And I was like, good night. This is not barbecue. You know. And but the more I cooked, the more I got around it, the more I started figuring out mixing this sauce with that sauce and all these different flavor profiles and complementing it with your rubs and the little sweet and little heat and the, you know, all this stuff, it starts making sense, you know.
Right.
But if you just try to pour some of this sauce we use just on some regular barbecue and make a sandwich out of it, it ain't, you know what I mean? It's not going to fly.
They ain't that good.
No.
That's how the competition's going. It's the whole... you hit the nail on the head. It's to enhance the flavor of the meat. You know, a lot of times people say, well, ribs is more of a sauce contest. Well, if you put it on thick and you think you're going to win with that, you're wrong. You know, yeah, you do want to put a thin glaze on it, but you don't want it to overpower the pork. You want them to taste it, but then your rubs come in for the savory part of it, you know.
Exactly,
so you
right.
got your sweet heat, the middle of the road, sweet and heat. You don't want to offend anybody, and, you know, and have a good, robust flavor in the meat. And
you
know, people say, oh, that's nothing, just add some more rubs. No, you don't. It's a compilation of different rubs. And people say, well, you just mix them all together. No, you don't. You layer them on.
No.
You want layers of
that's
flavor.
That's exactly right.
And people don't get that. We do some schools down here in Augusta. Got Fireside. He does not believe in layering rubs. And he said, I just throw them all in a ball at one time and do it and get the same effect. No, you will not. You will not. I don't care what you say, you will not. And
Jim, I've had the same experience with that, with ribs. I mean, a lot of people, you know, use the trig method of honey, brown sugar, and, you know, tiger sauce, and
right.
You know, everybody puts it all in there one at a time. One time I tried to mix them all together in a pot, put it in a squirt bottle, and it just doesn't do the same thing. I mean, you know, when you first start out, you think you can mix everything together and it'll work, but like Jeremy said, as you do this long enough, you start to realize that there's a difference between mixing it all together and layering it on there.
And that goes back, people ask me, so why all of a sudden did you break free? You know, we were close last year. I mean, we got a few grand, and we were in the hunt, especially towards the end of the year, every damn contest we went to. And
sure.
over the winter, you know, we did some SDNs and some SCBAs and stuff. You know, people said, why do you do those? There's no money in them. No, but it's a hell of a good practice coat, like I said, on ribs and pork. And where am I at in GBC on ribs and pork?
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Right up there. So see what I mean? It is practice. But, you
that's
know,
exactly right. You got to do it.
You got to do it. But what, and I'll tell this to everybody, what really changed us this year over last year was paying attention to the fine details.
Sure.
And no sooner than Mike Moore going to Rock Ray's class, this class I took 2 years ago, him coming back, and I was up there with Mitchell. Mitchell talked to him, so what this? Well, you know, I just used a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and, you know, did this and did that, and it came through. And I said, that's the attention to detail I'm talking about. It's the little thing. It's not the whole picture. It's like what you said, Jeremy. You're tweaking just a little bit here, a little bit there. So,
right.
On a normal contest, you'll find if you're going to swing down, if you're going to swing up a couple spots. If you swing up
sure.
a spot, then you stick with that exact same recipe, and if you stay there, that's fine. If you start slumping, then you may need to tweak it back the other way. So.
And you've got to give it four or five contests. You've got to be willing to go, well, I'm going to let this ride, you know. This week we did the forecast last weekend. Yeah, we were almost DAL. But then you look at the score
yeah.
sheet and the table on and stuff, and we thought it was a lot better, so we're going to let it roll a couple more contests and just see
yeah.
how it goes, you know, because you just don't know. That's, you know, talking about Rod's class, there was I've talked to quite a few people who took it. And that's the thing they said they took away from it more than any recipe. I've taken a few classes, and I don't cook those recipes, you know, or verbatim or any of that kind of stuff. But you take those little nuances, and everybody said that Rod's class, he's meticulous in his intentionality and his detail and reasons behind the way he does things and repetition. And you do A and B, and you get C, and all these things that just really made an impact on them. So he's coming to, you know, coming in January to do a cook school. And I'm looking forward to kind of listening to what he has to say about those. You know, that's the deal. It's those little details that can push you over the top. It'd take a long time to figure out, if cooking one weekend and try a little thing and then wait till the next week and, you know, massage a little bit more. And it's just, it takes a while, you know.
Well, like you said, you got to make them your own pretty much, you know. I do probably 60-70% rod recipes because
sure.
some of the stuff they use is just that I've tried and just doesn't work in this area. It may,
sure.
you know, to a certain extent, but, you know, me going over to Carolina and talking to a couple of guys over there and, you know, swapping a few recipes here and there because, you know, they don't cook brisket. A lot of them want to go and taste this, so, you know, that was a win-win situation for me. All right, what are you doing with your pork? Why are you kicking my ass and pork over here?
Right.
And And it wasn't necessarily their rubs or their sauces. It was their technique. The only thing
right.
I changed in pork
right.
was my technique. I was still using the same injection, the same rubs, and same everything. And it hit, I'm going to be honest with y'all, it hit about the same time when I got in contact with David Bonka about a sponsorship. And
sure.
with his input, what he could give me without giving me a whole lot, and with the way he was talking to me, how his rubs and his injections and all this stuff, how it worked with the meat, and what to expect out of this rub on if you just put this on, it gave me a whole new avenue to go down. And I religiously use his rubs, not to say all of them, but one of his rubs, at least one of his rubs, sometimes two of them, are on every piece of meat that I do. And that's
right.
what really, between that and a technique change, really helped me in pork. It helped me in ribs. Helped me in brisket. And chicken, you know, is very up and down in this area. You know, some weeks they might
right.
want a little hotter, some weeks they might want a little sweeter. So, you know, that's the most, I guess, varying aspect with the chicken, because it is the first piece of meat the judge is putting in their mouth. And, you know, and it's got the true flavor and everything. We were getting away from it. Now we've kind of leveled out on the chicken. We've got top 10 calls, and I always told Jan, I said, you know, if we get top 10 chicken, I'm fine. I ain't changing nothing. I let
right.
big meat
exactly.
do the talking. And,
right.
But, you know, y'all
swapping recipes. Swapping recipes. A few months, you know, my Achilles heel last year, we did 12 contests last year, I guess. Was our first year. We started, you, Harley, was our first contest last year. And chicken just killed us in every contest. And it was killing us first part of this year. And Scott and Susie Burton in Southport pulled me aside and they said, hey, let's make a deal. So I showed them a little bit on a category and they showed me a lot on chicken. And since they've told me about chicken, man, it's been really consistent and hitting really well. So thank goodness for friends that will, you know, help you out also, you know, and making those deals, you know. The competition barbecue and what they're looking for in chicken, I would have never come up with what they're, or would it take me a lot
right.
longer to come up with what they, you know, advise me to do. And I do exactly what they told me to, and it's been hitting great. You know, there again, it's not, you know, first of all time, but it's a surprise if it's not a top 10 most of the time in chicken, and I'll take that every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to win every category.
Saying.
Top 10 in all four categories, you can win contests, and that's what I want now, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can bet that, you know, usually if we get a top 10 call in chicken, we're going to do very well in the contest.
Right.
You know, just we've gone to doing a couple of little things with the chicken and the ribs and stuff to keep them consistent. And
sure.
You know, but you know how I know when my pork is good in the competition is when Grand Jan goes back there and she can't quit eating.
Right.
She sells my pork at her restaurant. You know, I cook it 3 days a week here for two restaurants. And but yeah, you get sick of pork. So when she goes in there and she starts getting some of the pulled and get some more and get some more, that's
right.
when I know it's on. And
sure.
you know, I expect the top 10 call the pork when she does that. And so does she. You know.
Sure.
So
sure.
And you know, the more you do this, and Jonathan, you'll back me up too, you know when you've had a good cook and a bad cook and a so-so cook. You
sure.
know?
Yep.
Most big teams aren't going to have an awful cook. They're going to have a so-so cook, and you know that could put you down into the awful stage. But you know what I'm saying? It depends on the competition that's at the competition.
Sure.
And
you know, this weekend I put on Facebook before awards this weekend that, man, I still stand behind it. I wouldn't change anything we did. You know, our overall finish wasn't what I wanted. But, man, we were confident in all four categories. We felt like it was our best. We finally put all four together the way we wanted. And, man, you just got to be happy with that, you know. I'm not going to change anything next time. So you're exactly – you know, like like you're saying, you know, chicken we feel like finally got together, and then you get something else that falls off. Last year, ribs were kind of our go-to category. If we were going to get a call, it was going to be ribs, and then this year they fell off. And I think we finally got that turned around, but we're having a hard time finding ribs. I'm buying cases of ribs and picking through them, trying to find three or four racks that are, you know, decently straight and no shiners and bones aren't broken and all sorts of stuff. It's
I would tell you, brand of ribs
funky. Funky.
I'm using
IBC mediums right now.
I don't use IBC, but I use some that some people don't really care for a whole lot. So I'm gonna tell you what they've been hit for us, and I might have to tell you in a round paper or something, after some apple pie or something, but. Not on the radio.
All right.
But
no problem.
They've got some really good. they've got some really good Boston butts too. And when I can get their butt, if and when I can get their butt, you can bet I'm gonna have money multiplied around your wrist on them. So these butts are just every one of them are consistent. I mean, just huge. I'm actually cooking some now for the restaurant, and that makes me cringe because I said, you know, if I had freezer space, I would freeze all four of these cases just for competition
right.
for the year. I mean, they're that good. And
there's one other
team that I share that with, and that's Waylon.
Right.
Because, you know, I've kind of brought him up a good long ways. And, of course, George Boy is a good friend of mine and everything. But,
sure.
You know, it's but you find something that works. And I'm not going to say it'll work with your recipe or the way you cook it.
Sure.
You know, if you're hot, fast, or whatever. You know, this is what works for me. And,
sure.
You know, I try to tell people that, you know, if we swap something, I said, this is what I do. And
right.
this past weekend, you know, Smoke and Stacks forgot his injection, but I'd already used mine, and I had some left over, so I gave it to him. Well, Waylon, his brisket was a little salty, very salty.
Sure.
And he said, what can I do now? I said, I got something for you. So I went and got some Miles U, and I said, here. I said, you can use this. I said, you know, it was still in the refrigerator stage. I said, warm it up, put this on it, and see if it takes the saltiness out. He
right.
did it. He goes, y'all saved my ass. He said, I never thought that one ingredient would take salt out of a brisket. And I said, it does.
Sure.
I said, but you know what? I said, nobody knows what it is but me.
Right.
I said, now you know what it is, but I said, he said, oh, it ain't leaving my mouth. He said, no way, shape, or form. Because, you know, as you know, if you mix all you for your brisket, sometimes it gets a little salty.
Oh, yeah.
We figured out an ingredient you can add to it, and it will take it away. And not take away the beefy. So it's
well, I'm bringing a lot of apple pie for the next contest. Get you loosened up some. You know, but what to say is true.
Well, damn, that'll be 2 weeks. I'll see your butt in Marietta, so that'll be 2 weeks.
Oh, good. That'll be awesome. Well, I'll bring it. I've shown a couple of guys trying to help them out a little bit in brisket, just kind of how we do things and why. But, you know, I mean, you give me heck all the time because I don't get sleep, but I'm a stick burner. That's just what I love to do. And was raised doing that with my granddad, you know, and just it's just kind of in me. But there's something about that because there's a ton of draft in those things. And so the airflow and the draft and the way that heat's moving across the brisket, it's going to react different than it is in a gravity feeder and some other cookers. Not saying one's better than the other, but my technique works on this cooker. And I don't know if it would be the same as the other, you know? Because I've shown guys what I do, and it doesn't get the same result. Which, you know, part of it there again is the little details, just kind of the feel and all that stuff that you get over time, you know, doing something. But there's definitely something to this, like you're saying. You know, you share what ribs you're using or whatever, and it may not work just because of the different process and different ingredients and recipes and different cookers. And, you know, I cook at 300 degrees. I know you cook start lower and ramp up over time, and, you know, it's just a totally different process.
Yep, and like I said, it it takes you a while to figure out because really, truthfully, I think it has. You know, for me in the gravity fed smokers, and I know with Bubba and Jeff and a lot of these other guys, you know, same way you find a brand name product that works for you and you stick with it. And you had a confidence level with it too, so that adds to it also. And
that's exactly right.
But you know, it could be the weight of the ribs, you know, the size of the butt, the size of the brisket, whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And my brisket, I used to cook on my Memphis, which is a pellet smoker. And people said, well, you can't get enough smoke on. Well, last year I had 3 scores that were 1 appearance score away from a 180, and I had a 180 in brisket last year. And
right.
And that was all after I started using butcher products. And
I was like,
so
Dave Boston, some pellet cookers, you know, and he's one of the best cooks there is.
Exactly.
Knowing your tools.
That's exactly right. And I switched straight over to my gravity fed and kept it going. You know, I had some issues with my pellet cooker and, you know, power issues and stuff. And, you know, with charcoal, it's hard to have problems, even though we do have a guru. But, you know, hell, I got 3 gurus spares. And,
right.
So if I have to, I hook it to my truck battery and do it if I have to. But,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But you and Jonathan, you're the same way with your gravity cookers. You really got to find, if you're up and down, start looking. This is all the fine details. Start looking at what brand you're using, number one.
Right.
Start looking at the weight that you're using. You know,
mm-hmm.
the fat content. You know, the whole 9 yards of what you're using. And, you know, these are all, people just overlook a lot of that stuff. And,
sure.
You know, I've gotten a lot, paid more attention to it. And things have been going a lot better for us, as you can see. And, you know, we're not bragging by no means. We're just, you know, we thank God Almighty every day for what we've got and how we've been. And,
sure.
You know, and we've paid our dues like most of y'all have. And it's one of the things, you just have to stick with it. And it's going to frustrate the living crap out of you. You know?
Yeah.
It already is. But
yeah, absolutely is.
It's just one of those things that's going to do it. And, you know, the only thing that I tell everybody that is consisting in barbecue is the inconsistence of judging. That's, you know, that's the only thing consistent in barbecue. And you're always going to get it. And like I said, we're not sitting here bitching about the scores, but when it's blatantly like that one table,
sure.
I can understand
right.
one or two
right.
judges, you know, spread out over
sure.
a few tables, whatever. But not one whole table, well, 5 judges on a table just hammering, you know. I guess they don't like barbecue. I think I put out on my Facebook page, they either didn't have any teeth, they had no taste buds, and, you know, something they couldn't smell. So, well, they were blind, I think. I said they were blind, tasteless, and had no teeth or some shit like that. But anyway, you know, and that's the way we
yeah.
feel, you know. They couldn't see the box because
sure.
they gave you those. And we did get good appearance scores from them. We got, like, almost all 9 from that. But after that, it went downhill to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it was like, they didn't like the texture, they didn't like the taste. And like you said, to see Rub down there, and me, and you, and Tim, you know, that's too many no-nos in there. Now, yeah, we can understand
right.
if one of us screwed up or is mushy or whatever. But,
sure.
you know, I went through 2 money muscles, and most of them were just, I mean, they were some of the prettiest money muscles I cooked all year. Juicy,
sure.
oh, my God, they were just glistening. And I told Jan, I said, the pork is there. I can tell when I slice the money muscle if the pork's there or not. The pork
right.
is great.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, when I pull that pull, I mean, it just drips and glistens. I'm like,
right.
oh, it's on. But, you know,
yep.
there again, you know, it kept a lot of, really good teams that should have been up there out of it. I'm not just talking about a pork category, but I mean the brisket, chicken,
sure.
ribs.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, you got Donnie with Warren County getting like 26th in brisket. Come on,
the number
man.
One
He's
brisket
one of the best
team
brisket
in
cooks.
The country. He is the
brisket
team. There's no way
from the same
and Donnie looked like,
you know.
Well, see, Jan's the one who brought up my attention about table 1. And I don't know if she was talking to you about it or whatever. But she'd already gone back up to the – she brought up me right away. She goes, look at table 1. That's – and she started looking through all the things. And she went back up to find Troy and the refs. Said, hey, you know, I know there ain't nothing you can do about it now, but, you know, Troy, you handpick your judges, especially in the finals.
Right.
There better not be a damn one of them on your list. Because you know
right.
they keep track of them by the numbers. They know what seat number they are. They know what
sure.
table number they are. They know what judging numbers they are. And you don't want a reputation of having bad judging at a contest, because you'll get a lot of teams just, well, you know, I got a one in three out of four chance of making it. That's pretty good odds, but, you know, how much money am I going to spend going up there?
Most of the teams there, too, are the teams that are chasing points, that are trying to, you know, chasing team of the year or at least the category or something. And so the regional and the finals, you're not getting any points either. So, you know, like Donnie was talking about the other day, afterwards, I was talking to him after the contest, and we're all loading up. And, you know, he would have liked to make finals, I think, but he was actually kind of relieved a little bit because being second in the country right now in team of year points gives him a couple of weeks to kind of catch up to crew bud, you know, and pass him. And because there's no points involved, you know.
Right.
So for teams that are in that position to give up a week of cooking or whatever points-wise to go, you better have some fair judgment where they can have a chance at that 50 grand, you know.
Yep.
Or it's going to be a big deal.
What Troy told us, you know, we spent talking Thursday night, and he told us he is getting judges from, you know, last year there was quite a few from the Midwest and something, but he said actually it was more almost diversified last year than what it is now. So they had like three from this state, three from here. He had like 22 states or whatever involved in it. He said this year he's only got 17, but he thinks he's got some really good judges. And he said, I'm not talking about people that just score high, but he said, I'm talking about people that score consistent in every contest. You know, they're ranked, you know, 32, 33, somewhere around there, or whatever, or 31s to 33s, you know, consistently. And because, you know, when you get that, they're going to score a team low, but they're not going to kill them. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's really bad. And so, you know, he is making a point. He does have control of that. And, you know, I hope Jim and Randall are listening to find out. Of course, you know, they pretty much have some judges they won't let judge. And this year, they'll, you know, as an organizer, they'll be able to tell who's who. And, you know, hopefully in the future, I'm thinking judges are going to get a little bit better. It's going to get more consistent.
Right.
I'll put it that way.
Sure.
So,
sure.
But, you know, so where are you off to next, Jeremy? You doing Marietta?
We got Marietta, and then we have a weekend off, and I think Rome's the next one after that. I'm trying to remember my calendar here. Trying to decide we're kind of chasing some of the GBC stuff. We're sitting second in brisket, third in pork right now, and sixth overall. And Lions is that same weekend, so we might try to hit Lions and Rome. I've never done a doubleheader like that, but Rome's Saturday, Sunday, and Lions is Friday, Saturday. It's a pretty good haul, but I've got two trailers and two smokers, so I could do it without having to, you know, I could have both rigs set up, basically.
Yeah.
So looking at that, maybe. And then after that, we're up in Cleveland, Georgia, and then Cumming, and then Calhoun is all we've got right now. Since Bentonville now is free, there's a couple of contests that weekend we're looking at maybe going to do. So we're going to fill up some more dates before the year's over. But that's what's on right now.
Yep. Now, I forgot what it's an issue now. So who's first in pork in GBC?
Let me look again here. I don't remember. Rankings, pork. You are, my friend.
That was a loaded question.
Yeah.
I'm with you, buddy.
Wicked Q, and then us and pork right now.
Yeah. And, I reeled your butt on in right there, buddy.
You're hanging on
the pole right now.
And then chicken, since we got chicken straightened out, boy, we were way down. We're trying to climb up. We're trying to replace some of those, you know, a good contest. We can jump quite a bit because, man, we had some awful chicken scores first of the year. So we're trying to get that picked up too. So, you know, just trying to have a decent showing in the state. So we might go ahead and try to hit Lines. You know, we're trying to make that decision, but
I would like to see, just for Jim Stensley's list, I would like to see and several teams that are coming too. We'd like to see GBC go more towards the points of KCBS. You know, going to placing is not the scores, because you're in Georgia, okay, and you're going to get a variance even in Georgia of, you know, typically higher scoring around Atlanta than it is other places, and, you know, U-Hawley may not be, well, U-Hawley was high as hell last year, but, you know, then something else wasn't. So
it would
be more fair to the teams to have the placings. And, you know, in my opinion, in the event of a tie, like you got two first, whatever, add the points together and split them up, you know?
That makes sense.
And do it the same way with the team count, you know, all that stuff. And that would be the fairest way to do the, because, you know, you can win, like I've got, three or four grands in Georgia. And three of them this year count towards the, GBC.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's tough. But, you know, one of those wasn't very high scoring. You know?
Right, sure.
So, you know, it goes back to where you still have the same team. You know, it's just I choose not to cook around certain areas because of other concepts I have, you know, conflicts with. And so, but, you know, if you get those placings, I mean, I don't know how y'all feel. I mean, that's my opinion. And I know Scott and Jeff and a few others are the same way. You know, Jeff's kicking everybody's butt in every category but pork.
Right.
You know, that's usually one that he usually kicks butt in. And I bring it up to him all the time. And I told Jeff, you know, he's ahead of me in the overall or whatever. I told Jeff, so pick your best five contests. We'll go head to head. He goes, no, we don't do it that way.
Jeff's about 0.6 of a point behind you in pork right now.
Yeah, but if you take his best five, like my five contests, so if you did these five contests, take your scores in all four categories and put them up against mine. And I have to see where you're at. And he just looked at me and goes, no, we're not doing it like that. We don't do it like that. That's because you got like 9 or 10 cooks, Jeff. I said, you know, come on, let's, you know, you gonna man up. He's a great guy, great competitor. He goes, no, that's not how it works. It wasn't set up like that. I just laugh at him. I still got two more to either screw up or come up or whatever, but maybe three if I'm to come. I've got to decide on that. I haven't decided whether to do that one yet or not. I love Randall's thing, but, yeah, I do one down to Charleston that same weekend. Sure. It's so much closer for me to go there, and I don't have to put up with that traffic. I'll be honest with you, I despise Atlanta traffic. Cause I know when to go through and when not to, but I just despise it, you know.
I think Jonathan lives – well, you live out in Douglasville, don't you?
I do. And drive to Atlanta every day.
Oh, do you? Wow. I live up in Cartersville, and my office is about 5 minutes from my house, and there's not an angry commute. We're actually about to move up further north towards the Calhoun area, and so I have about a 25, 30-minute commute, but there again, it's not an angry one. So I avoid it if I have to. You know?
So
we're close
you
enough
me
to be able to go down there when we want to, but we don't have to deal with it if we don't want to. So.
Well, see, I have to go down I-20 and up 75, so I have to go through the heart of it to get anywhere, you know. And, you know, if I can find a contest where I have a two-lane road, 2 hours, I'm there, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, Greenwood's an hour away from my house, Lawrence an hour and a half. All those North Carolina comps are within 3 hours of my house. You know, the furthest one I went to North Carolina was Apex. We won it, and that's what we got our draw off of from what I found out was Apex. Last year, the North Carolina draw was from Apex. So, and now I got a free entry.
Is this your
Apex.
First year doing the Jack? Is this your first year doing the Jack, Jim? Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. It is.
I look forward to hopefully being able to do that 1 year.
Well, like I said, I was telling Jonathan earlier, I set a 3-year goal. I told my wife, I said, I want to win Waynesboro 1 year for sentimental reasons.
Right.
I want to win Banjo Bikis because it is literally in my backyard. I was thinking I'm 0.73 miles, and then I wanted to go to Jack 1 year. And I said Jack would be the pinnacle of my career. I didn't realize we'd have all three of them in the same year, and now making it to the grand finals in the same year, that's just like the cherry on top. And, you know, it's going to be a very busy October, and I got another big job. I'm going to be starting in the middle of October, just like I did this month.
Sure.
Luckily, this month, though, I had an off week right when we started it. So,
gotcha.
Last week, and not this week, but last week, you had to work all the way up to Friday night, come home, and then go back out Sunday night, you know, work till Wednesday, and come back home and get ready for Nashville. So that was my...
Right.
That little boat trip we took on the SS Chopper, which, by the way, Donnie, I named it for Donnie when we were up there. See, so I'm thinking the name for the boat. I said, instead of the SS Minnow, why don't you call it the SS Chopper? So now he's calling it the SS Chopper.
I saw some pictures, man. That's a hell of a boat. That is a hell of a boat.
Yeah. Man, we had a blast. I mean, we did. It was, but, you know, after 12, 15 days of working like that, because that Saturday we came back and we did I do landscape and irrigation and everything. And they built a brand new boat jungle. Well, we landscaped it. Me and two other guys, actually three other guys, we landscaped that thing in 2 days. All day Friday and all day Saturday. We didn't leave there until almost 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And so I was ready for a relaxing night somewhere, somehow. And just having, you know, the Southern Q crew on there and Donnie and Tracy on there, they were great. Jan and Tracy hit it off, and, you know, Billy Duray Carroll was up there, and then Troy was on the boat.
Right.
Troy Black. So we had a great time. We really did. We had a blast. They were dancing, singing, hooting, hollering, and everything. We were out in the middle of the damn Cumberland River, and nobody out there. It was great. It really was. And, that was just one of the things that you needed to unwind a little bit. But
sure.
But it just goes to show you, I mean, Jeremy, you know, we met, you know, we had a lot of mutual friends and stuff, and we met this past year, and we hit it off. You know, it's a barbecue family out there, and everybody really gets along. And, you know, we have these little dinners and stuff. And, I mean, Steve Finger from Smoke This, I don't know if y'all know him, but he's his birthday's like Wednesday. And we're having a big birthday party for him on Friday. So everybody's bringing
cool
stuff. And you know, there's going to be like 60 teams up in Salisbury. And
wow.
So I can't even tell you how many teams are going to show up and how much food is going to be out there. Because as you know, you lock up and try. Remember that one, Jeremy?
There was absolutely.
So much
that was
freaking,
incredible.
There was so much
too.
Freaking food up there. It was just. And you really see the culinary expertise of some of these cooks when you do a, you know, potluck dinner. They bring out, I mean, they're like, you know, what David has some crab stuff, pork loin with a...
Oh, man, he's done that two or three times, and it's just, I love whenever I see the Blue Blood Better Contest, and we know we're doing a potluck. It's like, all right, it's gonna be good, you know.
White chocolate bread pudding and all this other crap, I mean, I'm like, good Lord, you know. It's just amazing, even Bubba, you know, he cooked the prime rib up there,
sure.
Frank last year, he had some barbecue bacon wrapped shrimp that Jan still wants.
Bacon wrapped shrimp.
Yep. I mean, it was just phenomenal. You know, Damon Woolley came up with some little steaks that he marinated and something on the butt, but they were to die for. And it's just amazing. You know, then frankly, we had a hell of a cook. Of course, we invited y'all, but y'all didn't show up. But,
We didn't get the invite till afterwards. And I told y'all, man, we were still new to this thing, and now we know y'all better and know the invite's open, but we didn't just want to invite ourselves over to some. We heard about it, but we didn't want to just invite ourselves and assume.
No,
you talked
to Mr. Bowman. I told Mr. Bowman to come over. I had told Mr. Bowman.
Right,
I told him, I said, you get you and your crew and come on over there. We got plenty of food. We have to have people, to help eat it. Because, you know, there's going to be, everybody knows, there's going to be some times when you're not going to be able to contribute. And, you know, yeah, you kind of feel bad, but in a way it's like, well, you know, I can make it up next time. There will be a next time. And,
exactly right.
You know, so it's, and as you know, we always have extra food left over. And, you know, most people just throw it away. They don't want to take it back home. So, but, you know, those times
always
are always
incredible.
Oh, they are. They are. They really are. But, you know, we love seeing, you know, you take your whole family to a lot of these, which is great. I mean, it's just it's just a big family affair out there. And
that's been the thing that's really, I guess, surprised me. I didn't expect first getting into this thing. Our first contest at U-Harley, man, I mean, we were green as gourds, you know, and pulled up and, you know, never built a box before and didn't know what the heck we were getting in for. And, man, there were so many teams that came over to give us help, and We set up right next to Rub, and he was super nice to us and gave us some tips. And just throughout this thing, I've made more lifelong friends I would have never met in my normal walk of life. And, you know, my business, we do very technical systems for churches and performing arts centers, that kind of thing. And it's nice to get out and do something that's a little more low-tech and meet people outside of my industry, you know. And it's pretty incredible, all the friends that we've made that, man, I'll be friends with the rest of my life through cooking barbecue, you know, who would have thought. But and to give something that a middle-aged fat guy can still be competitive at, you know.
Well, it is. I mean, you look at the demographics of what people do different, you know, for you know, as a job or whatever.
Sure.
You know, you look at what they do, and I got to admit, probably landscaping is one of the biggest things that people do, because most of them own their own company.
Right.
And can break away and do this stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard, you know, having a full time, even if you own your own company, as you know, it's kind of hard to break away to a lot of these comps to go do.
Sure can be.
Because, you know, number one thing is, you know, you got to take care of your family.
That's
and
exactly
a lot of
right.
people have, a lot of people have a hard time of seeing that. And, yeah, with this, you can get carried away. You can get caught up in it really, really quick.
Well, yeah, you sure can. I know some guys do it, you know.
That's like I tell my wife, there's a lot of worse things I could be doing. You know?
That's exactly right.
But,
I've traded my music hobby for barbecue. So at least this my family can go, and it's a family environment, you know, and really enjoy it. So.
Well, now you bring some of your music hobbies to the barbecue contest.
I think it was Somerville or one of those, I can't remember, but Dale Pirate 50. He's a guitar player.
Somerville.
He brought his guitar and stuff, and we sat out in front of the trailer and picked a little bit, and it was, man, it was fun, you know. What's that?
Yeah.
Parsley and Shine was formed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then Jonathan named it Parsley and Shine. Which is the perfect name for a barbecue band, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's Dale's a different Dale's a different breed. You know, he's he loves the barbecue. Him and Jan both are great. And they love all of us, and yeah, they did great work. And I mean, he's kind of a shining light in us. He always sends us things out there on Facebook, and but you never get
tired.
Yeah,
man, he's got a heart of gold. You know, my son, Case is 3 years old, and he just thinks he's the coolest because he loves pirates. And man, I saw your buddy that's a pirate, Daddy. So Dale brought him all sorts of gifts and eye patches and jewelry and a skull cap and all sorts of stuff. And he's actually coming to my son's 4th birthday party in January dressed in the full pirate garb and stuff and making him a sign for his birthday, you know. And they're just good people, you know.
They are.
And that's the thing.
Yeah, they are.
Out. They're doing this barbecue stuff. Is they're just good people that I would have never ran across them in Murphy, you know, North Carolina. But now they're just good folks. I'm proud to call them friends, you know. And same with all you guys. It's just it's a cool sport we're involved in, and I call it a sport because I work my ass off doing it. <You know?
laughs> Yeah, sometimes it's full contact. You know,
yes, it can be.
I get done with a contest, and sometimes I've been beat down. I'm like, all righty, you know.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
But you know, like I said, it's great. I mean, you meet so many new people. And, you know, we're looking forward to going to the Jack because I've interviewed a lot of people on a radio show that I've never met in person. And, it'd be good to meet them. And you can find out people's real true personalities like that. And, you know, they're just their demeanor and everything. And, you know, like I said, I think everybody knows a lot of the drama's gone around this area. And it's just been nice. It's really been nice. You caught the tail end of it last year, but
yep.
You know, me and George Boy separate ourselves away from that. Jonathan knows. Several months before the squat hit the fan, and
right.
We didn't know. We knew if, we just didn't know when.
Right.
And you know, even Randall came up. He said, "You know, I hate us doing this. You know, kind of splitting ways and stuff." You know, now that that's all over, we hope everybody gets along good. I mean, everybody gets along great. And, you know, it goes
absolutely.
Back to, you make new friends, whether it be recipe-wise or food-wise or whatever. But, you know, most teams out there, if you're just hitting a rock bottom on something, they're going to, if nobody else will, I'll come up and say, "Hey, have you tried this? Have you tried doing it this way?" And
sure.
I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, but I may flip a light switch on and say, "Ooh, you know, that might work. That might be what's going on." And then people that, you know, we've got some really good friends of ours that they keep tweaking the recipe, and they tweaked so far the last year and a half, they weren't hitting on nothing.
Right.
The first time they go back to their old recipes, their old modes, you know, they're in top five.
Yep.
Why are you
sure.
changing them? You know? And they were using the same.
Right.
Little stupid apparatus to cook the ribs and stuff. They know who they are, and don't change that. Don't do it that way. Don't do it. You know, do this. Do it. Don't use that. And they were bound to term to use it, and they got burned. And it's like, you know, just stick to what's working. You know,
right.
It's going to, your places are going to start leveling off. You know. And that's what we did. We just kept doing the same recipes, same temperature, same timeline, same everything. And as
right.
you know, I don't ever go. I don't really go much by timelines, but when I get it started, is that great or even decent barbecue cooking? No, you always go by internal temperature. And you know, so I had it under for so long. So what? So what done? It what
right.
done? You know?
Oh yeah, that's,
I mean,
exactly
that's
right. Stuff.
You know, people say, "Well, I had it on there for like 9 hours, and I had to put this on. I couldn't get it done." So, well, you couldn't move it over a little bit and put your other meat on there? And, yeah, I could have. I said, "Well, if it ain't done, it ain't done. You got to get burnt." And sure
yeah.
enough, get burnt.
And even then, once you get past internal temperature and you reach your target, you better be able to fill of it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Especially
and I think that's the difference that for me – between like brisket and pork up to this point, and I'm getting it dialed in. And pork is brisket, I could feel of it, no, because I've done it forever. But pork,
yep.
I get the temperature and I just pull it. And now I've started, okay, where's the temp? And really the last several months trying to get a feel for what that's supposed to be like. And it's, I can tell a big difference paying attention. There again, that's the details. It's not cooking by numbers, you know. It's trying
right.
to get that feel right. It's just like, you know, ribs, the same kind of thing. You got to do that by feel, you know. Okay, cool, I've cooked my time, but, man, is this right, you know?
Yep.
And you'll develop that.
Yeah, you can use the bones as a temperature gauge. And like I said, you can feel them. And you know, and that all comes around
them
with practice.
Sure.
You know, if you practice with them, you can actually take the rib out, take two bones off, put it back in the rib, put it in. And, you know, get the feel and then bite it and see if that's where you need to be. Then
right.
you keep doing that until you find out exactly where the bite needs to be. Our biggest problem was where we liked them, where we had a bite coming straight off the bone. Nothing but mm-hmm. gray bone showing, you know, perfect bite, blah, blah, blah. We got hammered in tenderness.
Right.
And then we backed up a little bit where they had a little tug to them. We started doing better. These up here
right.
by Joba Q, the judges had to have vampire teeth to eat them. I mean, they were tough. I mean, they were, don't get me wrong, they were moist. They were tender when you bit into them, but the tug off the bone, we were hoping they would go all the way to the bone, in other words, so they would leave meat on the bone. And we got eight, and I'm like, that's the biggest, that's to us this year, that's the biggest shock that we've gotten this year was an eighth and fourth and ribs up there at Banjo the Cube. Because we just knew,
well,
we
think
gave
part of that. Mike Davis and I were talking back and forth on Facebook the other day about that, and part of that, and I've seen this firsthand. I've talked to a bunch of guys, been around a couple of judging schools and helped cook and hung out some when Scott Smith cooked for one up in Cleveland, Tennessee earlier this year and whatnot. And and I've attended a cook school, I mean, a judge school, and just a lot of those, they give you a little bit of print information. And I think guys who are new, which is the guys that are going to the judging schools, who are new to judging, and they feed in your head this fall off the bone is bad, which I agree. I don't want it falling off the bone, but you want it tender. You know, I like mine the way you like yours, you know, where it's a pretty easy bite. I don't want a whole bunch of tug. I don't want a bunch of chew.
Exactly.
But I think that they push them so much into the direction that, well, if it's easy to bite, then it's overcooked. That us as cooks almost start having to cook them a little bit tough so that the new judges score them appropriately, or what, at least what they've been told is appropriate, you know.
But
that's not consistent at every judge school, so you're kind of shooting at a moving target, you know, all the time.
Well, that's where I think, you know, but now it's coming out, like I said, to 50-50. It's 50% on your cook and 50% on the table you get. You know, on that table, are the judges going to overlook a little bit of tug, or are they going to overlook a little bit more towards the tender side? You don't know.
Right.
You know, I know with them splitting the women up, and I know they do the women, I know they do the first-time judges, they split them up, but they need to do the age difference in them, too, because to me, the older the judge, the more salt they're going to pick up, just like women. Women can pick up salt at the drop of a hat.
Right.
And, you know, because if you don't eat it, you know, that's the first thing. And 99% of the roads out there is the first ingredient salt, you know?
Sure.
And so, you know, if it's too salty, they're going to pick it up.
Right.
So, you know, having that even distribution over it, then you get someone like our age in there, you know, and they eat salt, and it's fine to them. You know, they're not going to take off if it needs salt. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
They're not going to put on there it needs more salt. I can guarantee you that. But you'll be the first one in the comment card to say it's too salty, you know. But,
that's exactly right.
But, you know, the whole demographic thing needs to be, you know, trimmed out. And see, here's the thing is with KCBS, you know, over the years, it has evolved. And there's more money. There's more people doing this full-time. You know, I don't know how, but there are. There are more people doing this full-time. You know, and making a living at it. I'm not going to say a great living, but, you know, making it, but they're doing what they love to do. You know, the only stress they have is the 30 minutes at awards, whereas in Troy's case, the 8 minutes at awards. But that's the only stress they have.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, you know, it's really almost a perfect world if it make it. But you know, so you got all this money on the line. You got these huge sponsors. And then you get a lot of these big teams that are bitching and complaining that, you know, all they're asking for is for the people to step up and have more consistent judges. You know, if your food's bad and you have, you know, 7-6-7s and all that, they ought to be about that all the way across the board. You should not have 9-8-9s and 9-9-9s and a 6-6-7. That's BS. You know, that's an uneducated judge or a judge that should be judging anyone. Yeah, there was a judge up here, Van Jovicue, that took off, that put like either a 6 or a 7 on the box. And I know this because one of the master judges that cooked with us was next to the guy, older fella. Everybody else had 9s on the parents. And it was a 4 box. And the guy said, well, I'm giving it a, I don't know if he gave it a 6 or 7. And table cats came on and did his job, said, well, you know, you're the only one who gave it. Why did you give it this? He said, I didn't have any pulled pork in it. And the staff kind of said, well, it doesn't have to have pulled pork in it. If you go back to your education, you judge it for what's in the box, not what you want to see. And he said, well, I want to see it, and it ain't in the box. And I'm not giving it above a 6 in appearance, unless this guy's in the box. And the guy said, you can't do that. He said, I just did. And they excused him. They said, you're right. You did it. And there's judges up there that you know, that Van Jovicue has, you know, kind of red flagged, and, you know, unless pretty much hell freezes over, they won't judge anymore. Because, you know, that's the kind of judge, we don't need that with the kind of money that we spend.
Sure. You know, in Tryon, I pulled all my bones from the same rack there, and got like a 9.89999, a bunch of high, and then I got a 7.55, a no comment card.
Yeah.
How do you give a guy 2.5 and not even give him an explanation on it? You know?
Well, to me, that's so worse than judging it 5.5 with the 5.5. You know?
Right.
And it goes back to what I tell these judges when they would give. They actually start giving out more comment cards, is the way I put it to them. I said, here we are, spending all of our money, going out cooking these contests, you know, $1,000 on the average between teams, and we're trying to cook y'all the best pork. All we ask for is a little respect and saying, well, if you don't like it, put down why you didn't like it. So if we go to 4 or 5 competitions and we get at least one judge on it, say it might be too salty or too sweet or something, then we can back off on it. You know, in the past they called them bitch cards, but, you know, if you get them consistent like that. Now, this is what I like about SPN. Every SPN judge fills out a comment card, whether they liked it or not. And that is great. I'm not kidding you.
Sure.
It takes 5 seconds to write down, you know, really good, sweet. I think I've still got some comment cards from them. I had one guy said, I would drive 50 miles to eat these ribs. I mean, you get it makes you feel good, you know, that you did really good.
Sure.
Of course, my ribs and pork were.
It's educational.
It is. But, you know, and you get so many teams that come over there and say, well, it was too saucy or not quite done enough or way overdone. Well, then they know, you know, what direction to go. And it's more helpful to new teams, even first year or second year teams, on which direction you need to go. And even for us right now, when we're hitting the ribs at the beginning of the year and then all of a sudden we're falling off, we're thinking we're cooking the same thing. Well, are they not savory enough? They too tender?
Right.
Not quite tender enough? What? You know, because you get that fine line. I mean, that's a 5 or 10 minute window on those ribs.
Sure it is.
When they're
sure it is.
Perfect for that. And we've all experienced it, you know. And you see that tenderness at a 7, like, well, were they too tough or they're too tender?
Right.
You don't know.
Right.
They don't write a card. They don't write a comment card on it. So, you know, I know it's a new scoring
system.
That's why I've
been
out last
year. I was going to say, that's what happened to us last year in Chicken was we weren't scoring great, so then you just start chasing your tail. Well, you change something, you change this. Well, you know, do they want it hot? Oh, is it too hot? Do they want it sweeter? You know, the bite was good, and the skin didn't pull off. It was bite through skin and all, you know, but you just kind of start, next thing you know, you've made it way too complicated, or at least we did, and was doing way
exactly.
too much to the stuff, you know, because you're trying to compensate.
Yep.
And, you know, the categories we do best in, like our brisket process is easy. You know, our chicken process is straight ahead and easy now. Pork's pretty dang straight ahead. Seems like the categories we do best in is our, you know, you do your thing and you let it cook and don't look at it, you know?
Wait to take Rod's class and you'll see how easy it is.
Right.
Ask Michael Moore. He took his class. He's like, he's just very methodical, very meticulous on how he does it. And
the
it's not a complicated system, but just like you need, I'll put it this way, you better hit your marks where he says you need to. And,
right.
You know, because he's not going to be like a teacher and say, okay, you really need to do this. If he says, if he says fart before you put your meat on the grill, you fart, you know, you work one up. I mean, because that could have something to do with the air quality or something. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Every little thing that he says, you really need to pay attention to do. I will tell you that firsthand. And I've talked to him my first second year several times after that. And, you know, he might have missed one or two of those little things. And, you know, he said, well, you know, in the class, I'll tell you to do this. I said, well, yeah, Rob. But, you know, that was a. 6 months ago, and, you know, I can't remember what the hell I did last week. So, you know, a little help.
Right.
He's a great guy. He can get a little dry sense of humor or whatever, but
sure.
he never puts anybody down except Johnny Trigg. And, but, you know, he's a great guy, and he'll give you his number. You call him, he'll answer his phone and try to help you through a rough patch you're having it, but, you know, he stands behind his classes through and through.
Sure.
And, I mean,
I got to know
Rod
in in Tryon when they did the Pitmasters thing up there. And we had talked on Facebook a little bit. I went and talked to him. And then a couple of months ago, I called him and just said, hey, man. Or I sent him a message on Facebook and asked him if he'd be interested in coming to Georgia to do a cook school. And he said, you know, he would be. So I helped him line up the venue and get the date set up and stuff. And I talked to him last night, and he was about sold out. I think he had one seat left or something. So it'll be fun getting him here. But through that process, I've gotten to talk to him quite a bit. And he is, man. I haven't taken his class yet, but he's already started kind of giving me a few tips on some things, you know. And just a real nice guy.
Why could
you know? And that's
him?
The thing. You see guys like y'all and him and True Bud and Warren County, all these guys who consistently hit. And there's a lot to cooking and the process and the quality of food. Yeah, there's the luck of the table, but if you're putting out bad food, the luck of the table don't matter. You know, the cream of the crop typically rises to the top, you know, at least over the period of the year. You know, you may have a bad contest or two, but over the course of the season, you know, the cream typically rises to the top. And you consistently see these guys winning over and over. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate your limitless effort of sucking up to me. I don't know what for putting me in that group of cooks, but
man, you
appreciate that. But
already you've gotten to the jack. Good Lord, it ain't sucking up; it's taking back, man.
Well, yeah, we were the team that you can ask Don this, and you know we were the team that used to sneak in with these competitions. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We would go, we would do very well, and we would leave, you know. I mean, we'd meet friends and all that stuff. But, you know, and really to this day, you know, this year just may be a great year for us and be the only year we'll have this or whatever. You know, we just, if you ever notice, we don't really win a lot of categories. You know what I'm saying? We'll get our share. We'll win one or two here and there, but we're, my whole thing is being consistent, and
right. Absolutely.
And it's taken me a while because I thought you had to win every category. In some contests you do, but to be up there, it's almost like racing. You can't try to lead every lap. You have to, you know, hold something back and make it through. I guess is the best way to put it. Make it through the competition. So, you know, you pay attention to details, you hit your marks, and then, like I said, it's left up to the judge and stuff. But you have to give them probably some of the best products you've got. But that all goes back towards, you know, your fundamentals and you know, picking your meat out is a really, really big deal. I found out over the years. And I have one with some less quality meat than I've lost with, in my opinion.
Sure.
But you have to give yourself that chance to win week in and week out. So, you have to almost put the same care in each piece of meat, not just say, okay, well, I'm going to take pork. I'm watching that. Well, you can't let the other meat suffer. So, having Jan there, and I'll say a big part of it, you know, last year I cooked about 13 contests by myself, and I did pretty well. Actually, my first 3 or 4 grands were without Jan. It really pissed her off. So she was known as
reserve. Yeah, that's where she got the reserve grand. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so everybody remembers that. So when we won Lions, and that was the first one that she'd been to when I had a grand. Well, I'd already won like 6 grands before then. So, but, you know, so she was there as Grand Jan, and I think it was you that came up to us this past weekend. You bring Grand Jan?
Yes.
Yeah, damn it.
Yeah, you pulled up because she stayed at the hotel. I was like, you didn't bring Grand Jan with you? You said, yeah, I stayed at the hotel. I was like, damn. Somebody left her home,
right.
Man.
That was you.
It sure
so,
was.
So, you know, it was, but, I mean, she's really there, you know, for the support. I mean, she's there to help keep me on time. It's kind of like Sherry is for Rod. And Jan started building my boxes for me, which, you know, it only takes me 15, 20 minutes the way we do it anyway. But it just took that off of me. And, you know, we've been doing pretty well. Of course, she had to get a 6 appearances last week. But she said it was my chicken, not her box. But, anyway, it was a stupid, you know what, judge. But, you know, but her being there, it gives me somebody to talk to. I don't overthink stuff. You know, she tastes the sauce. She is my meat taster on there, especially ribs. I I mean, if she says the ribs are on, the ribs are on. You know, that's same with the pork, and you know, she doesn't eat the brisket. I taste the brisket, but she eats the chicken, and she'll get the bite through. She'll tell me if it's too spicy or whatever. Of course, you know, usually chicken's chicken. It can't really do a whole lot with it. But
right, sure.
You can add a little bit of flavor at the end if you needed to. But you know, and that's where her taste buds comes in about where it needs to be, and the tenderness on the ribs. I didn't eat one rib this past week. Usually I eat a rib. I didn't eat one rib. I didn't eat a piece of chicken.
Right.
Usually when she leaves the chicken box, I'll take a bite of chicken. Oh yeah, that's where it needs to be, or oh that's dry. We're gonna bomb. But
right.
I do taste the brisket, and she'll taste the algae. She'll tell me, you know, she'll pick up salt in a heartbeat. So
right,
she'll talk to that.
Sure.
I don't have to worry about it. But what I'm getting at is it really, really helps to have a partner there, as Jonathan found out this past weekend, to help you, I guess, help you stay the course, so to speak, you know?
Right.
Because that may be some of those
exactly right.
small details you may have forgotten. That's telling you, well, don't you do this? Oh, yeah, damn it, I do. You know? So you got to go
right,
do that.
Exactly. Yep.
Cooking the meat's actually the easy part. The toughest part is getting, you know, finishing your boxes. And there you
that's
go.
Exactly
you
right.
Finer,
finish your meat going in the box. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like I said, with her being there all the time now, I think there's only two or three or four contests she didn't go to this year. And one of them I won a grand at, and I'm trying to think of the other one. I think I got a fifth at one and a seventh at another. But you know, you can lose the lack of you have a lack of focus really easily when you know. And I know, Jeremy, you bring somebody around you. Whether they do a whole lot for you or not, they're there in case you
sure.
do have a problem. Number one. Number two is they keep your mind off thinking about the meat every 15, 20 minutes, you know.
Right. Right.
And that lets you let the cooker do his thing instead of, well, do I need to check it now or, you know. But, you know, she's a big help, and I know a lot of other people's lives are a big help. You know, you've got a little tribe, so your wife is actually,
I know.
Your wife is actually
yeah, my
spinning
wife,
off the youngin'.
yeah, my wife, she started coming to show. That's when we bought that fifth wheel, because I have three boys, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 3-year-old, and then my wife and... And if I'm going to cook, I'll wind up doing about probably 24 contests this year. And if I'm going to be gone that much, we better make it a family outing and an opportunity to make some memories while they're growing up. And, you know, so that's when we got that fifth wheel, so we had room for everybody because we are hauling a little small army. And then my father-in-law, Pop, he goes with me most weekends. In fact, Mitchell just sent me a message on Facebook saying, Pop is my Jan. That's pretty funny. and then my neighbor Bill cooks with us whenever he can, too. Bill, he's directly my next-door neighbor, and we cook a ton around the house. So he really... We cook enough that he anticipates my moves. He knows, hey, if you know when I'm doing this, I need this, and he has it there for me, you know. But we do sometimes it'll just be two ups, and sometimes we'll have six or seven there. And like last weekend, we cooked out of our small trailer, and we were talking, man, I really enjoy cooking out of it more because it keeps us plugged in more to the comp and keeps
to
us
the
outside
comp
with
yep.
everybody,
yep.
you know. You get in that fifth wheel, and it's nice, but, man, you got cable TV and air conditioning and the big kitchen and comfortable couches and a big king-size bed, and it's like, you know, it's
well,
easy
let's
to get
just keep,
and lose focus.
Let's just keep rubbing it in. I mean, you got room for me and Jane in there, too, to the competition.
No,
so, I mean,
that is not that is not the purpose of that.
and that's just
to lose focus.
Hey, Jonathan, that's just on the first floor. Wait till you see the second floor.
I've seen.
Because Troy's like, he's got like a 53-foot trailer. I said, no, it's more towards 73 feet. He goes, what? I'm like,
no. Yeah, I emailed Troy and said, hey, man, my trailer is 43 foot, but the regulations say 40. He goes, it's over length. That's right, I'll bring my other trailer. Then he was telling everybody there, I said, I had a 53 foot. I was like, man, that's a semi-tractor trailer. I'm not bringing a trailer.
Dude,
that's incredible.
He kept telling everybody it's 53 feet. And I said, really, truthfully, I wouldn't want to be pulling that thing up Mont Eagle and back down. Oh, it's not the problem. Well, now it's the problem.
Right, exactly.
But,
And we like to drive a small one better. We put some Dillard out of it and had a good weekend.
Yeah.
You know? So it's
right. You know, we're happy with our trailer. We're happy with our trailer, and we've got somebody that wants to help us out with the fifth wheel, and you know, I'm like,
sure.
You know, I'm you know, yeah, we can use a little more headroom up there. But yeah, you know, it's not bad. It's a lot from where we came from. I mean, we used to cook on the little 6x12. And normally, if Jan doesn't go, like if she doesn't go to Bentonville, and even if she does go, we may take my little 6x12 trailer out there, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
and cook out of it. I cooked out of it in Apex. And, you know, we'll throw us a queen size mattress, fits in there, takes up half the trailer. But it fits in there good. And she actually sleeps better on that than she does on the, you know, $500 mattress we got in the, $1,000 mattress we got in the damn other trailer. So,
I know. We were talking about that this weekend. The bunk beds, this little trailer, sure is more comfortable than the big trailer. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I almost sold this trailer, and I thought, you know what, man, I'm not, because it's nice having it and handy to have a smaller rig. And like Marietta, man, if my wife and kids don't go stay, I'm not going to haul that big sucker down there. You know, I don't need that to cook. And it's just you have to manhandle the thing. You know.
Well, so, see, if Jan doesn't go, you know, I've got my big trailer listed in Marietta. But if she doesn't go,
right.
I may just take my little one up there because it's just me. Because I've got a twin mattress I blew up and sits in there just fine. And
sure.
So Bob said it looks like I'm sleeping on blow up dolls, but it's a mattress. That's my story that I'm sticking
That's
to.
That's I can
it's
hear Bob
nice
say that, man. He's a funny guy.
It's got a nice headrest. It got stereo, so.
Man, have you been in Jonathan?
I've seen Jonathan at, I think Jonathan's sitting behind me down at the, I think it was the Pigs, Wings, and Fishing Contest down at Perry. Weren't you down there, Jonathan?
Yep. Oh, yeah. The Mud Box.
Fishing Contest. Yeah.
Hey,
I won
the Bass Tournament Sunday. I won the Bass Tournament Sunday. Yeah.
I didn't know they had that. That's funny.
They did. Right down there was about three doors down from me where the water was about waist deep. We had a Bass Tournament. I pulled four trailers out Sunday morning.
Wow.
I could have really, truthfully, you know, with Lonnie's trailer there, I could have backed him straight out. I backed my trailer right where Rescue Smokers was, you know.
Right.
Where I didn't even spin, locked in full drive, didn't even spin a tire. And I told Jan, I could back Lonnie's trailer out in a heartbeat. Because it was all dry up under his trailer. And
sure.
I said, if I can move that thing 2 feet, I'd be in dry, you know, not in full mud. But, see, that had a bottom to it. You know, the track with the wider tires was just flat on top. My tires, I mean, it found solid ground. And, you know, I could have probably backed his trailer right up and out on the paved road up there. But, yeah, there's so few two-wheel drive trucks. I said, why don't y'all invest in a four-wheel drive truck? We don't know who has to put up with this. I said, well, guess what? I didn't have to pull y'all out. You know, I was going to be kind, but I said, you know, y'all got expensive trucks. It's $1,500 you have four-wheel drive, and you would never have to worry about it.
That's exactly right.
But, yeah, they, I pulled them out. You know, there were some pretty good GBA teams, I guess. And I just don't get that. I just don't get that functioning body.
Yeah, we
really
did
great
that
in
every competition, and I don't know we'll do anymore, but it was fun, but it wasn't KCBS or FBA.
Sure.
You know,
I've got
go
some
more
friends that cook that. I bought my first cooker from Lonnie Smith and took he taught me how to, he does ribs and a bunch of things and consider Lonnie a good friend. They've tried to get me to go down and cook some GBA events. I just never have done it. You know, the way I see it, I'm not comfortable with pork. I sure as heck ain't comfortable with pork loin, and they don't do brisket, so why don't I want to go? You know?
Exactly.
But it would be, you know, I'd like to go do it just because I know there's some great guys that do that circuit. But, you know, we've talked about it before, and I don't mean this offensive to anybody, but to me, KCBS is where the real tough competition is, it seems like. And if I want to get my butt handed to me, I want it to be handed to me by you know, those guys. You know, that's who I want to be competing against. And it seems like, you know, we've talked a lot about judges and tables and that kind of stuff, but really it's they work hard to keep it fair and to try to weed through some of that. And it's definitely, in my opinion, it's just the sanctioned body I want to be, you know, associated with and cooking with.
The big thing with that, though, is there is very, very little chance of winning your money back.
Right.
You know, and
absolutely. The final table,
it's a waste of food. It's a waste of money.
Yep. Sure.
You know, the final table is one thing, but the other thing is the payout. You know, what you have to go through with that final table and everything, it's just, it's horrendous. It really is. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's just, you know, there's no way to combat that. And people are saying, well, I can only do 5 because that's all the money I got. Well, GBA, yeah, that's true, because if you don't win, there's no way you can afford it. There'd be no way we could afford to do it.
Sure.
So, and Audrey's trying to bring it in. And, you know, I'm hoping some new officers and stuff, and I know the old people are like, you know, we're not changing nothing. And But it could really be a huge, it could be bigger than FBA.
Sure.
Because with FBA, that's where you got Florida, Georgia, a little bit of Alabama. But with GBA, you could pick up Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia. You said before, we're right in the hub of the SEC, you know, Southeastern. And you can pull teams in from all over. And, you know, it's, it could be really great. It really could.
We took the pig jig last year, and all we did was ribs. And I know with NBN, it's not GBA, but it was the same thing. We had to cook 15 racks of ribs just in case we made finals. And only 3 teams made finals, and then we had, you know, 12 racks of ribs we're trying to give away, or we're going to throw them away, you know. And it turned into a pretty expensive contest for one category, you know.
Yep.
And then the whole on-site judging of that, I didn't care for. I mean, I'm a salesman. I don't mind talking to anybody. You know, I can BS with the best of them, but you can't tell me there's not some partiality there when you got, you know, Myron right next to you and some of these guys who have this name recognition, you know.
Exactly.
There's going to be some of that in it. So that's why I'm not an NBN fan. And the GBA is the same thing on the food side. And you're cooking a lot of meat for the chance of making finals, you know.
Exactly. And it's set up where you can't cook it. It's set up where you really can't cook it at the same time. Or before you have to cook it, like, you got like a little over, you got an hour and a half. You can't get a whole pork one done in an hour and a half. You know, it takes 2.5 hours. So you're screwed on there. So when you find out you don't make finals, your damn pork loin's half done. Well, what do? You chunk it, or you finish cooking it, take it home, and give it to your friends. I mean, really, truthfully, I mean, in this day and age, especially for us barbecues, we have to keep costs down as much as possible.
Sure.
And you know, it's a economic type thing. You know, it's like supply and demand. But you got to limit what you're going to put into it, you know, as far as your returns are. And GBA is just not it. And it's no wonder teams from GBA just can't keep doing them. You know? The amount of work and the amount of food you have to cook and then the amount of reward is not there. And, yeah, you can have great contests with, you know, $2,000 to $1,500 per grand. But, you know, have cooked free meats. Have them cook chicken, pork, and brisket, or chicken ribs and brisket. Have the free meat, so it can be a damn jack qualifier.
Right.
You know, give some teams some incentives to get some more, you know, throw them a bone, you know, if they win. And you get more teams going over there. Because Jack Daniels, like I said, if it's 3 or 4 meets, you know, we'll back it. You got 25 teams, you know? So, like I said, GBA could be something great. Something we would all do. Because, like I said, if there's a competition here, you know, it's not really a GBC, but they have a GBA somewhere, and you got a lot of teams going to GB to this contest over here. You can sneak over there and hope you get a good finish or a jack draw or something, you know, at the end of the day.
Sure.
And that would split a lot of Georgia teams up, but it also makes a lot more teams because most teams now are going straight from backyard to right to KCS.
Right.
And I think
right.
that there could be a good little buffer, and that's one reason I like SPN. They're going to start incorporating beef into their.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I've made good money in SPN. There's been several contests. I've made $2,500 or better at an SPN mm-hmm. contest. They can say what they want to, two or three meets, but I do very well in SPN. And you know, there's a lot of KCS teams that there was four or five SPN teams up there this past weekend, Jeremy.
Yeah, I saw quite a few of them. Had the banners up.
Yeah, and their SCBA and SBN and all that, they've done them too. And, you know, they need to perfect their chicken and their brisket. But Backwoods Barbecue, he got, what, third brisket? He's a SCBA team. He pretty much listened to what I told him to do on brisket. But, you know, SBN's a really good – I like SBN because they tend to hit these smaller towns and where more you get more support. You know, sometimes you get these bigger cities, you don't get any support, you know. The whole mm-hmm. community that come out, you get people just passing by, so to speak. But these little towns that they have these, I mean, the whole community comes out. Yeah, you cook a case of butt. You don't have to pay for your meat, but you give it out to any and people want to intermingle with you. You know, especially
really?
With you with your cooker. Yeah, you with your cooker, people want to know all about that thing. I can't tell you how many
people. Yeah, we get a lot of people stopping and
taking pictures. That's what it's all about.
Sure. Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, with your cooker, people haven't seen that. They wonder what I cook on. I've probably sold three or four Southern Q smokers to people that were thinking about getting into it or just do it for a restaurant or something or want to start a restaurant. And, hey, that's the way to go. You know?
Right.
So they're thinking the smoker,
sure.
you know, like a lane's going to cost them $4,000 and they're going to stay out with it all night. You know,
sure.
You know, that's to intermingle with the crowd and stuff, which sometimes we like, sometimes gets a little old, but you serve little 2 ounce cups to the people. They eat it, they love it. You know, you get a lot of people come by. You give it out really about an hour and a half, and it's usually
sure.
good. But it brings the community out, and that usually brings up sponsors, which brings them more money to make sure. But usually, when you pay your
sure.
$150 to enter that thing, they give you a case of butts. You use what you need to cook with, and you just cook the rest for the public. You usually turn ends on pork is like either 10 or 11. Choose a 10 on pork, 11 on ribs, and then 12 o'clock, you start serving the public, and you're usually done. Hell, awards at like 2:30, 3 o'clock, you're out of there. Boom.
And the $150 entry fee, and they give you meat.
They give you the meat. You don't have to.
Maybe free entry fee.
Yeah,
right.
See, exactly. And see, Jeff, for looking at you, he took the one down here in Augusta twice. Well, last year he was like third. This past year he was reserve grand champion. He got a third place call in ribs, I think. And he got reserve champion and won $750.
Wow.
Well, that ain't bad. And the main reason why he did it is because Greg, who puts it on from Fireside, one of my sponsors, Jeff supplies him with salt. He's one of Jeff's clients, so to speak. So he felt obligated to kind of come down there and do that. And he wanted to do it, and like he said, he wanted to test cook his Jambo clones down there.
Right.
See how it did. And it was windy and rainy and all this other stuff. He goes, man, I put it through the paces. And it lets him know that he could really actually count on it in the KCPS event. You know? So
yeah,
I'm
wanting to see that cooker.
These are really good tune-up contests for me.
Sure.
And they kind of keep the dust knocked off, so to speak. And, you know, they let me know that my stuff's still hitting or not, all this other stuff. So, you know, we're going to keep doing them. We're not going to do as many as we have just because, you know, there's some other KCB events come up that in those same weekends. But, you know, we
– Yeah, you're next month, man. Going out to Bentonville and then going to the Jack. You got some driving back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, because I've got Salisbury this week, then Marietta, then Lawrence, then Lyons. Then Bentonville, then the Jack, then Shelby, and I got the people that really want me to come over to Darlington Raceway. Now that's going to be a cool event. It's the SCBA event. You cook pork and ribs, but only pork counts towards the grand. It's $2,500 first place, $1,500 for second, $750 for third. And I don't know what the ribs pay out, but it's in the garage, the pit area, the garage area at Darlington Raceway. And you actually cook
out. Yeah, somebody was telling me about that last weekend.
Yeah, well, it's probably one of the South Carolina teams. Because they're all going there. They want to know if I was going to go. And it's supposed to be a really cool event. I mean, it's decent money if you win. But, you know, it's just they don't know if they'll ever have it there again. But, you know, it falls
right
in the weekend before Cummins, which is about my only week off for 7 or 8 weeks now. And then, you know, I do two Cummins to Charleston, and then we're going to Cancun, and we come back, and I'm going to do Calhoun. That's going to be it for the year.
Right,
so,
right. All right, we're doing Calhoun.
And I didn't do it last year. We were doing something last year, and I was kind of forbidden to go. But in a way, I'm kind of I kind of really wish I went, and then I kind of really wish I didn't want to get involved in all that crap that went up there.
Yeah, I was right in the middle of that.
Yeah, I was pretty much done with all that. I was really done with it in Cleveland. As Jonathan knew.
Right.
Jonathan, you were up on the other end from us, but you kind of knew something was going on. But that's why we kind of stayed down in our little corner. It wasn't because of anything anybody else did, but it was just, you know, we just chose to stay away from that.
Yeah.
But.
That contest,
you know,
was kind of the eye-opening contest for me, you know. And Bubba and Randall, I had just really gotten to know them a little bit, and they pulled me aside and had a little talk.
I had the same thing.
Put two and two together, you know. But
well, we were really, like I said, we weren't wondering if, we were wondering when all that was going to hit.
Right.
And it just has to be. Yeah, I guess it was actually building for a while, but
sure.
You know, now Bubba's gone on his war path and everything, but you know, I'm like, well, the way I look at it is the way I look at it is just be done with it, get rid of the crap, just be done with it, don't even bring it up, you know.
That's
a done deal.
That's the point, Bubba. That he's let it go there. You know, Sam Club Marietta, and a couple of weeks after, he had kind of some fun with it, but after that, he let it go. He said it doesn't matter, and, you know, just let bygones be bygones, so, at this point.
And that's it. You know, Bubba's a great guy. He's a great competitor, and, you know, people see him up on his pedestal, but, you know, he's a very approachable guy, and, you know, he likes to cook, and he likes to have a good time, and,
right.
Yeah, he's been good to us, and I don't really have a derogatory thing to say about him. You know, he's always been a good steward of barbecue, and you know, he does nothing but help sport, so especially help Georgia team.
You know,
that's
the deal with Bubba. When I first met him, I didn't know how to take him. I told him this, and now he's one of my better friends, and we hang out a lot outside of barbecue and talk all the time, and he's one of those guys, when you first meet him, you know, maybe I was a little bit standoffish because I'd seen him on TV and I knew his restaurants and whatever else, and, you know, and he's got the big rig he stays in half the time when he's cooking, you know, and whatever else, a newbie in the barbecue world that's almost unapproachable.
Right.
But once you get to know him, man, I can't say enough good stuff about him. He's a great friend. He's helped me out a bunch. I know if I need anything, he'd give me the shirt off his back, you know, and there's just not, in the barbecue world there is, but in normal life there's not a lot of people that'll do that for you, you know. There's always some agenda,
right.
And most of the barbecue folks, there's really not that agenda, you know.
You know what really struck me was in Greenwood this year. Everybody kind of pretty much knows everybody. You know, roundabout cooking method. You know, if you cook at 300, you know what time. Everybody knows what you're putting it on. If you do it this way, you know what you're cooking on. You know, Bubba kind of had a little unorthodox way of doing it. And he asked me up at Greenwood. I think Randall may have been in the trailer. And he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "On your fork, do you blah, 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 blah." stuff. I was just, you know, the cooking, you know, the cooking stuff. I told him what I did. He was pretty close to what I was doing. I said, yeah, I know what you're doing. I said, but he said, I've gone towards hot fashion. I'm kind of torn in between. And I said, well, Bubba, you know, Rod always told me, what did you do when you were hit? He said, well, I did it this way. I said, well, why do you get away from it? And that's all I said.
Right.
And he goes, okay. I mean, it really is true. You know, you I'm dealing with Scott, you know, and Michael, cooking hot staff, even Waylon, and them doing very well like that. We'd already touched on this before. My roast, my sauces, my meat, my whatever, may not react the same way theirs does. And
right.
So I'm gonna stick with what I'm doing until it just totally flops, which I highly doubt it will.
Absolutely. Yep.
And but you know, I said, well, cook hot fish, you can't get a whole lot of smoke in your meat. Well, you don't want a whole lot of smoke in your meat. They want to know it's been smoked, but they don't want to really know it's been smoked with what, you know. So, you know, I do it my way, and it works for me. And, you know, you get these people keep flip-flopping back and forth, they're never going to be consistent.
Sure.
So, stick with what you got. Now, Jonathan, I don't know what you cook. I don't know if you're, I think you're kind of what I call a confused state. You know, low and slow is 240, 250, and hot fast is 3 to 325.
I said
250. Around 275 is what I call confused. So, I cooked for years.
I'm down to 250, and that's what I stay at on everything now. So,
yeah. And it's obviously it's working for you. And
yep, absolutely.
And I know you're kind of new. I mean, we're all kind of new. We were first, second, third years and stuff. But what I've learned from the past is, find something to stick with, and then tweak your recipe.
Right, get your base down, and
get your base is your cooking time, your cooking, your heat, or whatever, and then you can start tweaking things to either get them done quicker, or you know what I'm saying? Get them done quicker, then back your time up a little bit. You know, my time set, I put my meat on at 9:00. I don't wrap till 4:30 in the morning. So from 9:00 to 4:30 in the morning,
right,
I sleep. Unlike Jeremy.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I ain't putting my meat on until about 2:30 or 3, so I get some sleep, too.
Yeah.
But I cook at 300, not because I mean, I like hot and fast or anything. It's just, with my cooker, with the Jambo, they like to run 275 to 300, and that's where I get the cleanest fire. Go ahead.
You can't keep a Jambo at 240, 250 and have clean smoke.
Right. That's the deal. So I'm going to let it go where it wants to go. I want a good, clean fire because I don't want smoky meat. You know, we did a deal. Okay. Randall put a little event on out at Cumming Fairgrounds where we had 12 master judges come out, and there was a few teams that cook, and they judged us, and then they actually gave us their critiques after they judged our food. And there were several of them that were surprised that my food was off the only stick burner there. Because it was not, there were a couple of teams that that was way over smoked to their palates. And they would have put money on it, me, because I was cooking with wood on a stick burner. And it's, man, if you know how to run a stick burner and get a good clean fire and manage that fire, you don't have to worry about over smoking. I cook straight hickory, which people go, man, I can really over smoke it. It's not if you run a clean fire, you know?
Exactly.
And people that's why I thought about it earlier this year, going to a gravity fitting, trying to get some sleep and whatnot, and I just went, you know what, we're starting to hit, and I know this cooker like the back of my hand now. I know exactly where to put everything. I know how it reacts. I'm not going to change right now, you know. The next year or two, I might consider it, but right now, I don't need to add more variables to my cooking, you know. I'm going to leave the one that I'm comfortable with alone and just keep tweaking these recipes a little bit. And
well, you're doing it smart because you're not compromising your whole cook just because of what other people are doing. And that's what I was getting touched on base earlier. You got to cook what's working for you. Now, I know with Jonathan, my gravity feed, you know, we're around 240, 250, and it stays consistent. And the burnt is very efficient. I know your superiors are. And, you know, to me, I think they work better a little lower than slower than they do hot and fast, in my opinion.
Correct.
Because the whole box is more even. When you cook hot fast, I know on mine that bottom is just going to be so much hotter than the top. Yes. And, you know, when you keep it at a certain temperature, you're going to get more of even. Now, you're going to have a little warmer spot, which is great, because I know Jambos have hot spots, cold spots. And that goes back to learning your pit. You need to use it to your advantage. I don't want a cooker that's going to cook, you know, 250 on this side, 250 over here, 250 top, 250 bottom, because everybody knows that sooner or later you're going to have that meat that's getting overdone or one that's not getting done enough. And if one that's not getting done enough is when you really need to find a little warmer spot. You don't need it hot, but you need a little warmer spot. We had to do that with our chicken this past weekend. Cooked two pans of chicken. Well, one pan was getting done quicker than the other one. And I had to put the chicken on the bottom rack, you know, down close to the fire, but it was only, you know, 10 degrees hotter. So I'm not burning the chicken. I'm trying to get a little more heat in at the end so that, you know, it finished cooking. It was still, you know, we're at 185. I mean, it wasn't like it wasn't done, but it wasn't done where we wanted it to be. But, you know, and it came through, and that's just part of the point. But, you know, we didn't sweat it. But it's learning your cookers and whatever you got going on, and don't change anything. Like I said, the big reason why I changed, I went from green eggs to this, and I got used to the sleep, you know. And that's another big thing through Southern Keys was, you know, the first one Scott gave me was my TNT, and I won a reserve off it. Very next contest, I had to cook a whole FBA event on that one smoker. So I never cooked chicken or brisket on it. Well, Don came over and told me what shelf to put it on, and blah, blah, blah. So I did, and I won grand in my first and only FBA contest I ever did. I was only one down on four calls. And so then when I went to the limo model, the first cook I had, I cooked everything on it, and I won a grand on it. And the next one I won reserve. The next one I won, you know, I was killing it. And every first cooker, and I sold that one, got another one, won a grand on it. First time I cooked on it was at Boss Hawk. I won a grand on it. Sold that one, got a new one in Gainesville, cooked on it, won a grand up there. I said, just keep feeding me a new cooker every week, you know, because they don't need to be seasoned. Yeah, they don't have to be seasoned, you know. And Scott was really worried, you know, if he sold the cooker he'd won several grand on, if he's going to be able to get that same flavor on. I said, you got to practice what you preach. The only way you can do that is you got to get rid of it and cook on a new one. He did that same thing in one Columbus. And he goes, I'll do what you want. I said, it doesn't, you know. You get to a certain point. Yeah, in the old days, with the old stick burners and stuff, it may have made a difference. But now, I don't think it makes the biggest difference if it's seasoned. I think you cook the meat right is the main thing. And I think everybody's leaning towards. And I know y'all are doing that, too. Y'all learn more, you know, cooking the meat right instead of worrying about all the other BS that goes on. Old cooler or wild tails, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, that's what works for me. Jambos work for several people, several hundreds of thousands of grand champions out there on Jambos. You know, like I said, it's what you were raised on, what you know, like the back of your hand. But I know Johnson's
like
me.
I've never cooked a piece of meat in anything but a stick burner, ever. So that's just what I've always done, you know. I'm not opposed to change, but I ain't going to do it in the middle of the season. You know, I've talked to Randall, and I've talked to Scott Smith some and about getting one of the Southern Qs, and I'd love to have one just to play around the house here, and I might just fall in love with it in a wholesale change. I'm not opposed to that, but I just haven't taken the time to do that yet, you know. Just because I'm just hard-headed, I guess. I got a lot of memories growing up with my granddad getting up in the middle of the night and putting wood on the fire, and I just love that still, you know. But you do it enough, and all of a sudden you do like to sleep. You know what I mean? And the first contest that I had done where I cooked by myself, because my father-in-law couldn't make it, and my neighbor Bill had to go to the emergency room for some stuff, and he couldn't make it. So I stayed up all night and cooked the whole thing by myself and did it all. My neighbor showed up in time to help with boxes, and it was good to have fresh eyes because I was pretty tired by that point. But I couldn't do it.
I know you weren't.
But I couldn't do it every weekend by myself like that, man. There's no way.
That's what I'm saying. See, the big thing with me at the stick burner, see, I started on stick burner, was you had to have somebody come with you. And if you had a sleeping trailer, you know, now they got the point haulers and all that. But in the past, if we brought my little propane trailer, and we had to bring another truck to pull the other smoker.
Right.
That was the big reason why I went with, you know, the gravity feed, first the green eggs and the gravity feed. You know, it was mainly for ease of operation. I could go do a competition by myself, get sleep, do that. That's going back to those details, because if you're tired, and Raleigh can tell you that, if you're tired, you're going to miss something. There's
you're sure right.
You will miss something. And
yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, and things just start leveling out for me. And, you know, more and more people are going to it because they say, hey, you know, they get sleep. I don't have to take these other two drunks with me, you know, to cook. You know, I take one other person, take my wife or whatever, and, you know, be right there. You know, we've always, I had my foreman go with me, you know, first year or two, and, I mean, that was great, but then Dan started meeting some friends out there on the tour, and as you know, the more friends you meet, the more she wants to come. This year, she hired the next person at the shop, but she can leave on Thursday. And actually,
right.
They do better at the sandwich shop when she ain't there than when she is there.
Right.
I was like, maybe they're trying to stay or something. But, you know, it's great to have her because, you know, I'm not making all these long trips by myself. And I'll be honest with you, coming back from Nashville Saturday night, we drove all the way back. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning we got back. And I've been up since 3 because she got me up. You know, my alarm goes off at 4:30, and she got me up at 3. She goes, Jeff, you know what time it is? I'm like, oh, shit, is it daylight? You know? And because I knew I set my alarm. I rolled over at 3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 o'clock. Well, when you get startled like that, you're not going back to sleep. I'm sorry.
Right.
So So from then on, I was pretty much up. I mean, I was laying in bed and stuff, but, I mean, I wasn't sleeping. And but that last 50 miles to Augusta in that dead area between Augusta and Atlanta, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I had to put toothpicks in my eyes. I was doing everything I could. And she'd taken a little nap right when we got out of Atlanta. So right when it was getting past Lake Oconee and all that, I'm like, you got to wake up. Keep my ass awake. Cause now she could pull my little trailer. I wouldn't have trouble with that. She could drive that, but that big trailer's pulling the big problem is stopping the problem. And as you know, pulling the bigger rig. But I wouldn't be able to get any sleep knowing, you know, if I just want to rest and let her drive, that's fine. But I wouldn't be able to get any sleep with her driving. But
yeah, that's
know,
a long drive. We drove back that night and got to about Chattanooga, and I had to pull over and let Bill Cook drive, because I couldn't do it anymore. I can imagine going on to Augusta, man. That's a long drive when you're that tired.
Yeah, it is.
It is,
and, you know, but, yeah, I'm sorry, we probably should have pulled over and gotten some shut-off somewhere, but, you know, I was fine all the time I got about Lake Oconee, and then it just started, started hitting me hard, because we went to Atlanta, but we're still wired. We're still got Atlanta, we're wired. Yeah, Atlanta with all that traffic fight and all that, and I think just getting to Atlanta and all that hecticness there and then getting down that road, and it's just like 3 or 4 cars, and, you know, you're like, you know. But, you know, you do stupid things in your life, and hopefully you don't have to pay for them all the time. But
that's
guys,
exactly
man, it was great. It was great to talk to both of y'all, and, I think we've exceeded a limit by about 22 minutes, actually, right now. But
yeah.
It's great to talk to y'all, man. And I look forward to having y'all on the show a little bit more. I guess some guys out here don't like to talk and everything, but everybody kind of, like I said, you know, being in the same crowd week in, week out, we all feel about the same way, and we're all passionate about this sport and enjoying the hell out of it while we can and having a good time and meet new people. You got any... I know you got a few sponsors you want to put a plug in for and everything before you get off.
Yes, sir. I would. Our main two are Southern Way Gourmet. It's a family friend. They've been making James Duall rub for the past 10 or 12 years. I've used them since I started. Still using them now on everything but brisket. They've done me well. And last year, I had a Superior smoker, and Kevin Blackburn bought it, and he believed in me last year, he said, and thought I'd win a grand this year. So he gave me a sponsorship, and I've had a great time working with him this year, and we cook a lot of contests together as Superior, and that's always been wild. We became really great friends, and so beer smokers. I can't say enough about them. They're great.
Well, that's good. Like I said, we like that thing, style of smoking and everything. But like I said, you know, the Jambos are a lot to be said about. But well, it was great having you on the show, Jonathan. Like I said, we're looking forward to having you on here quite a few more times. But anytime y'all want to call in or whatever, you know, feel free to. People think that they have to be invited on the show. You don't. You can call in. I pull your number up on the computer. And, you know, we do get some crank callers every now and again, but I keep a log of everybody I have on the show so I can cut your ass off if I want to or not even answer it if I want to. But anyway, it was great having you on the show, man. I hadn't seen you a whole lot this year, and I know this fall we'll do a couple of competitions together. So
yeah, I appreciate it. We'll talking about Dillard, and thanks for letting me on the show tonight.
Hey, no problem, man. Congratulations again on your grand, man. We're real happy for you.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Jeremy, you got any sponsors you want to? All right. You got any sponsors you want to put out there, Jeremy? Or?
Yeah, the only sponsor we have is Baxter's Original, Baxter's Wood. Michael Baxter's down in Fitzgerald, Georgia, and met him last year at the Pig Jig, so coming on a year now, and he brought some wood up to me, and we struck up a friendship, and, you know, we've talked a lot of time about different cookers, and of course, mine is just a stick burner. We just cook with nothing but wood. We'll start the fire with a little charcoal, but after that, it's straight wood, and so having quality wood's a huge deal, and, man, he's great product. You know, gets me the size I want. It's consistent every time. It burns great. He sells sauces and rubs and cookers and all that stuff too. I just get wood from him. But Baxter's Original, you can find him on Facebook. You can find him on, you know, they've got a website. They were on Pitmaster this season, the finale, where they cooked a whole hog. They used, you know, Baxter's wood on that, and he's getting a lot of cool opportunities right now. So I'm proud to be. Cooking with his products and to call him a friend and so anyway, Baxter's the only sponsor we have. We're trying to do it a lot on our own right now. We've been cooking right at a year now. You Harley was a year that we've been cooking, and just trying to get some type of a resume built, I guess, and trying to earn the respect of other cook teams out there. And definitely not going for any sponsorships or anything at this point. We don't have the track record to prove anything yet, you know. When we get to that point, then we might start pursuing some other stuff. But Baxter's been really good to us, so we're proud to be working with him at this point. Anyway, appreciate you having me on. Go ahead.
Well, you'd be surprised with what people help you with. You know, not really going out there looking, but, you know, just seeing what the people of companies like. You know, we pick up Springer Mountain Farms. They look for, like, really some decent Georgia teams to do it. And y'all are up and coming, man. Y'all are right there in the thick of things. Your resume is getting really full pretty quick. And, you know, they look at that. But, you know, not all sponsors really want to be, you know, it depends on where you're going, you know, the number of contests you're doing and stuff like that is what they're more looking forward to and your reputation now. So,
sure.
You know, I see a lot of sponsors in your near future. We've got a lot. They're not, you know, heavy hitters by no means, but, you know, the little things help a lot. So, you know, Jeff will keep one of our sponsors. And Jeff gives me some salt and some other things, and it's been great working with Jeff. You know, I guess I'm his little pack meal because I take rubs and sauces and charcoal up the Nashville, and then I had to bring some sauce back to my sponsor here in the guest at Fireside.
Right.
But, you know, he catches me out. I mean, you can't say no to the guy. Jeff's a great guy, and he's helped me out a lot, too. And,
I never really hung out with Jeff a ton until Athens, and we really got to spend some time together. And he's a funny son of a gun, you know. And
he is
a great cook and good guy. I'm glad I got to know him better. And then in Kennesaw, we hung out quite a bit too, and really enjoyed it. So,
yeah.
Been around and said hey, but go ahead.
be around him when his wife's around there. His wife gives him so much crap, it's funny. And but, I mean, both. I mean, he's so soft spoken, but you know, he like you said, he's a hoot. He's real easy guy to get to know, and his wife's just a trip. I mean, the whole family is. I mean, Sadie's really good. She does barbecue, and he used to always win when him and Sadie. We started this at Augusta Wine Fly last year, and Jan would bring him a cookie, they'd win the grand. So we do really well. So Jan quit bringing them cookies. And so, but no, they're a great group of people, and his wife's just as good as gold, too. I mean, it's a trip watching them, too. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, Jeremy, like I said, it's great to have you on the show tonight, man. I'm glad you could make it. And, you know, I guess we got our 2 cents worth in tonight as far as the judging concerns. And, you know, like I said, hopefully something will come out of it, but we'll see. But I guess I'll see you in 2 weeks up there in Murrieta.
Yes, sir. We'll see you then. And sure enjoyed it. Thanks for the invitation once again. And look forward to doing it again.
All right, thanks. And tell your wife we said hey, and we'll see you up there in Murrieta, buddy.
Hi, bud. See you then. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, so we've had Jeremy Moyer from Moyer's Barbecue team, and we've also had Jonathan Simmons from All's Gone Wild in Georgia. Two great friends of mine, and hope we can carry on this friendship. And like I said, barbecue's like one big happy family. Everybody gets along, do a lot of stuff together, even outside of barbecue. So it's great. Meet new friends. Get you a stick burner or a barbecue rig and come on out and hang out with us and have a good time and maybe hear your name called a few times. So I do want to thank my sponsors, Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, Butcher Barbecue, Oil Up Charcoal, Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grill, Wicked Q, Phoenix Printing, definitely, and Springer Mountain Farm. Love having y'all on board, and y'all really help us do what we do. Without y'all, we wouldn't be able to do it. So this is Jim Bird from Killer Bees Barbecue, signing off on Barbecue Superstars. Hope y'all have a good night, and we'll see you next week.